Blog Talk Radio.
You're now tuned in to Culture Freedom Radio, the home of Lions Vibe Radio, Liberation Tabernacle Ministry, and much, much more. Talk radio that wake up the minds of the people.
Oh, I say it, I say it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. This is what he does.
I've liked many ladies in my day, but just like the wind, they've all blown away. See, to love someone, it's an atmosphere that you both still share when one's not there. There's no real way it can be explained. I guess it's the way I smile when I hear your name. It's the little things you do that mean so much. It's the kiss you put into every touch. It's the way I trust you and you trust me. I guess some of us are so lucky. I was known for having the upper hand. I was known as cold ladies, man. If it wasn't for you, I'd be that way still. But ladies, there's a change in Jalil. Though my friends play games and tease me a lot, I know I'm more than happy with what I've got. When I get up in the morning and go to work, see all day long, I stay alert. Until we come home at night and close the door, two people share one common core. When I say one love, you can trust me, cause never have I been so lucky.
One love, one love, you're lucky just to have just one love. One love, one love, you're lucky just to have just one. One love, one love, you're lucky just.
Yeah, just one love, y'all, just one love in. Indeed. Welcome in one more time right here to Culture Freedom Radio Network. We are most definitely up in this house for you again. Yes, we are delighted to be in this house always, brothers and sisters, right here on this magnificent, fantastical Sunday afternoon, man. I tell you, man. What month is this, y'all? This is May the 15th of 2022. It is. Y'all be forgetting the date, man. I'm telling you, I don't keep up with these type of things. I don't keep up with the date, man. I'm trying not to. I try not to, but, you know, they be flying anyway, so, hell, it's hard to keep up with it. You know what they say, man, time flies when you have fun. I don't really know about the fun part all the time, but, you know, time is flying on by. As it flies by, y'all, we get older as time flies. We get a little bit older even faster as the time flies. But tonight, right here on Culture Freedom Radio, we got an interesting topic of conversation with you right here tonight. Yes, sir, indeed we do. Check it out, brothers and sisters. A nice topic of conversation is, do we really know our place of origins as human beings? Do we really know our place of origins as human beings? And let me read some of the things that I have in the description, just some things I have in the description here tonight. I say, did human beings originate here on the planet Earth? Did we originate here on the planet Earth? Did we start off right here? Or check it out. Did mankind originate from some star constellation, as some cultures teach? Have y'all ever heard some of these things? Have y'all heard some of the things that where there are some cultures and that talks about taught them that they came from amongst the stars, or they just said that they came from amongst the stars themselves. Have y'all ever heard that? I got some clips and we're going to go into that. And one more thing I says, just how did mankind really get our start here on the planet Earth? Do we actually know, sisters and brothers? I know there are some things that we know when we read the Bible and maybe the Holy Quran. It talks about, well, there's one more. First of all, let me use the Bible first. We talked about the Creator, you know, God, as it says in English, God, that created us in the Garden of Eden. There's different places where people say the Garden of Eden is located, where it gives you a region, and that Garden of Eden would have been specifically here on the planet Earth, because it talks about several rivers, and we know these rivers originated here on Earth, right? So it says that we were created here on the planet Earth. Well, even the Holy Quran talk about mankind being created. But it talks about, there's a surah in there, surah meaning chapter and whatnot, that says, get ye down from here. Get ye down from here. So wait a minute. If we was getting down from here, that means we had to be up on something. It don't really go in specific, but it just says when Adam and Eve fell, it says it told them to get ye down here, ye despised and rejected. So what were they getting down from? Were they somewhere else? And then cast down to the planet Earth? We got some interesting things we're going to just talk about tonight. But this is this interesting topic, because do we really know? You know, we can, there's a lot of theories and, you know, things of that nature that's out there, you know, different theories and all that. But do we actually know? You know what I'm saying? Is everything just a guesswork or is a theory? Because, you know, who asked the first man? And then who asked the first man, who was able to ask the first man or woman or whoever else, how did y'all get here? We can't ask that. We can't ask it because they gone. And they said man had been around thousands of years on the planet. So I don't think we can ask nobody. I don't think we can ask. We can just dig in the dirt and things of that nature and try to wonder. But we just don't know. Let me play on the 3-minute clip right fast, and we're going to jump into this out here tonight, man, and get into these things right here, Culture Freedom Radio. Let's go. Wait. I'm trying to see which one I'm going to play. I want to jump into this one. This is from the History Channel, and it's talking about South Africa. Y'all ever heard of the Dogon tribe? Y'all ever heard of the Dogon tribe out of Mali, Africa? They talk about some things about this planet. They come from this planet, or these beings called the Nomos and things of that nature, who said that they came from amongst the stars, Sirius, star constellation, and things of nature. Let me play this one. This is from the History Channel. It's called Ancient Aliens. I used to watch it all the time. I don't watch it no more, but it's called Ancient Aliens, South Africa Tribe Travel to Other Dimensions. Let's listen to this right fast.
The Kalahari Desert, South Africa. Here, the native San Bushmen hold elaborate fireside rituals lasting for hours into the night. During these ceremonies, their shamans perform what's known as a trance dance, through which they reach an altered state of being and access other dimensions.
The trance dance is thought to activate an energy in their body called Noom. And this energy opens a portal of sorts that enables them to travel into the spirit world. And when the Bushmen activate this energy, they're able to put their hands in the fire without being burned. They can see vast distances, and it's as if in every way, shape, and form, they're transformed into super powerful beings.
By accessing the power of Noom energy, it is believed that a shaman who can extract illness, see the inside of the sick, and travel out of their own body to the land of the gods.
This Numa goes up the body, and then often it goes out of the crown of the head, and that's usually when the out-of-body experience occurs, and they travel to the spirit world. I've seen a bushman put a coal in his mouth and he wasn't burnt. They'll put their heads in the fire, and although their hair might singe and even catch fire, their face won't be burnt. So something is happening with this num energy. They call it boiling energy. It's almost like there's a vibrational change in their whole body and probably in their DNA in some way.
Could the so-called num energy really be inherent in shamans, accessed only while in a sort of dream state? And is it possible that the genetic make these medicine men is what allows them to access other dimensions?
The Bush people have a tradition. They are the first tribe ever created. They're the oldest people in the world. DNA tests have shown that they probably are, but all other cultures and all other peoples that spread throughout the world came originally from where the San people are now.
When we look at the San Bushmen and we see the clear genetic evidence that they are the primordial seed of human civilization and life on Earth, it is possible that their DNA is especially well equipped to have this potential to access these non-ordinary states of consciousness, which may in fact be a key to physically journeying into them, giving these people the ability to do things that most of us seemingly cannot.
All right, so with that said, I guess we got to ask the Khoisan people, how did the hell we get here? Since they were the original people on the planet Earth, I guess we got to ask them, how in the hell did we really get here, y'all? But that said, let's bring our brothers on tonight for the panel discussion on Culture Freedom Radio. Do we really know, my brothers, the place of origin, our place of origins as human beings? Do we really know, is Earth our place of origin, or was it Mars? Because some said we did originate from Mars, and then we left Mars and we came to the planet Earth. There's different things. Did we come from stars? Get it right. Did we come from the Sirius star constellation? Did we come from Orion? Where in the Jane Brown get down did we get? How did we get here, my brothers? So we got Brother Justice in the house tonight, and we got Brother Damore Ray David Israel in the house. Do y'all brothers know how we got here, brothers? How in the Jane Brown we got here?
Good evening to you there, Brother Tony.
Yeah, peace to you, Brother Justice. Peace to you.
Yes, sir. I'm going to be free to speak.
Hello?
Hello, it's just both of y'all talking now. Both of y'all speak.
No. I just want to just say, Shalom Shalom, Maury, David Israel, the Rabbi, Liberation Tabernacle Ministry, Culture and Radio, Live Vibes Radio. Like to say, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Shalom, and glad to be in the presence tonight. And Justice, I would like to hear what you guys say. Come on, bring us on in, brother.
Oh, so Justice got the answer tonight. So you go ahead and answer tonight first. Justice, so I guess you got the answer, Justice. He let you go first. I guess you got his answer.
No, because I'm not quite ready to go first, but I could come on in a few minutes, and then in about 45 minutes, I'm going to be totally, my attention is full. You go ahead and start, Chief. I'm going to listen to you, and then I'm going to come in after you.
Okay, hold up, Jay. Hey, who you said can come on, Dave?
Banana again, us, you, and...
Oh, Banana?
God.
No, I ain't gonna have her speaking on Culture Freedom Radio, no.
Hey, Justin, you ain't gonna never let you down on that one, bro. You ain't gonna outlive
that. Oh, no, that ain't never gonna happen.
Stuck with you, right? Goddamn, Banana.
No, but I'll be back in a few. I got something to do. I'll be right back.
Okay, your mic open, though. Your mic open. And they, you know, there are different things. Like, I remember studying as an Awabian, we used to go into different stuff, especially the ancient Sumerian doctrine. We usually like go into that a heavy. And I'm trying to pull this back up. I knocked it off. You know, if you even go into, and this is something Dr. York was presenting before. Now I'm going to go to, it's a Bible called Safar Bible. And I'm going to read it from Safar. But if we go to Genesis chapter, what they call Genesis chapter 6, there are some interesting things in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. You know, I'm just going to see verse 1 for, and I think verse 3 for one thing. Is it 4? But I'm going to read something right fast. It's interesting. And I remember Dr. York was going in there to break it down. I'm going to go into it even from the Tanakh. It says, when humankind began to increase on earth and daughters were born to them, and now the mankind, excuse me, let me start over, y'all, I'm messing up. Go back. When human beings began to increase on earth and daughters were born to them, the male among the divine beings saw how pleasing human women were and took wives from amongst them who they delighted in them. And it says, Yah said, my breath shall not abide in humankind forever. To his flesh, let the days allow them to be 120 years. But to go down to verse 4. Now, this is the part right here, brothers and sisters, right here. It says, it was then and later too that the Nephilim appeared on earth when divine beings cohabited with human women who bore them offspring. Such were the heroes of old, men of renown. Now, this thing here, Nephilim. Now, hold on. It's two things that really stick out in this. Because, you know, it's two verses. Well, actually three. The number verse one, Mohan, it says when. Now, this is, I'm reading from, like I said, this is the, y'all can tell this ain't the King James Version, right? This is what they call the Safar Bible. Basically from some so-called translated through JP Bible, JP Translations, that been Jewish publication. And so it was not written by no Protestant Jew, and I'm not really going, I'm going too much out of the way. The Protestant, not said Protestant Jew, not written by Protestant Christians. King James was a Protestant, but that's another whole story. So it's not written by Christians. This is written by actually what y'all would call Jews or European Jews, and you see the difference in the translations. But you make it clear here. It says when human, because it's, and y'all got to understand, when you study Near Eastern, what they call philosophies or culture, you will see a lot of these things actually there's in the Sumerian creation story, they call the Enumerlish and things of this nature. You will see these things. It's talked about these beings who came down to the planet Earth and all of these things. So you, this is somewhat what you see here because all of it was in that area at that time. So these stories do appear in some of the Genesis stories and not, but let's go back to right fast. And it says, when humankind began to increase on earth and daughters were born to them, humankind, right? You see that? And then the number two says, though, this is really the part, right? It says the males among the divine beings, the males saw how pleasing the human women were. So we all listen to that and hear that. And it said, and they took wives from them. When you heard that, right? What did it sound like? What did that sound like to you? It sounded like, because it said the divine beings. When y'all think about it in so-called religious terminology, it sounds like, okay, there's somebody who's out of space. Somebody's out of space, what we call the celestial heaven is what. Who saw these women, these human women down here on this planet Earth. And saw that they look good, right? They saw, well, boy, she look good to me. Them hermit look, boy, them hermit women look good. They're Jack. You know what I'm saying? We clone them women, boy, they looking good. Hey, look, I'm finna go get me one of them right there. But anyway, so they come down from the celestial skies and start cohabiting with the women of the earth. So you read this, y'all see it. I'm not making this up. Y'all see how it's written and how it's written. Now, this is a Tanakh. And then let's go down right fast to, and I'm going to get somehow some things they have in here now because it's a Jewish publication now. And I'm going to click on some stuff they have in the Talmud and stuff that kind of goes into this, right? And it says, and then, and later too, the Nephilim. Now they say, they would translate and say this word, Nephilim, meaning the giants. But check out what this says. And it was then and later too that the Nephilim appeared on earth. Appeared on earth. So these Nephilim were what? They were not of the earth, right? If they appeared on earth, that means they were not originally from here. You remember when I had said they came down? They came, because if I get the King James Version, let me get my King James Version right fast. If I pull up the King James Version and read that, that's what the King James will say. Let me pull out the King James right fast and show you that. And these beings came down. Boy, don't that sound like some, what they saw, extra what they call it, y'all, extraterrestrial involvement? Don't that sound like that? Let me see where I'm at. Genesis is 6 and okay, what was that, 6 and 3? Yeah, okay. Here we go. Now, King James Version says it like this. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bore children unto them. Now, this one kind of says that there were giants in the earth. But it says the sons of God. Now, I remember even when I was in Christianity, they say you asked them, who's the sons of God? They said these sons of God were the angels. Angels. That's what it says now, the angels. So, but notice this one says that the Nephilim appeared on earth. So when you go through different translations, see, this is what we're saying about reading different translations, because different translations would say different things, right? You would get different things with different translations. But it's just so funny. It says that these Nephilims, because some people say Nephilims mean giants, but this one says these Nephilims, a Nephilim, appeared on the earth. It says when the divine beings cohabited with human women. So these Nephilims then were not human. Now, if we're reading from this here Tanakh and how it's translated, so these Nephilims, these beings or these giants or whoever they were not human. They were not human because according to how it's written. So this is where we get, but y'all see this, but y'all hear this, but y'all don't see it. But there, this is coming from the Safar Bible. I want to say Cephas because it's a Cephas too. I'm trying to look at another translation to see what that says. But yeah, I just had to throw that in there. But I'm going to play one more style clip while Justice, he get himself ready and just get them a little something, throw them a little alley-oop to get them into something. Oh, you got something, Dave? I had another 3-minute clip. Go ahead.
Shalom, brother.
Yeah, Shalom.
All right, Shalom, Moray, Ariya, Israel. That's something I do want to throw out there.
Yes,
that
sir.
Way, you know, maybe you can. I'm going to send you a link to play.
Yes, sir.
Also, about Area 51. Area 51 and the aliens that's on that military base. So that's something that they say that is a norm for you know, Vegas. And I'm going to tell you something, a lot of the adult stars and porn stars and a lot of, you know, women out here in the entertainment industry. And, you know, I don't want to put this out there and y'all don't look into it, but they're saying that these aliens, the Nephilim, which you're talking about, and I'm going to throw it in there for y'all to look at.
No, they didn't.
A lot of them are reptilians.
Uh-oh.
And a lot of those reptilians are when they have, like, somebody gets in the entertainment industry, adult industry, they make a certain amount of money, they clone them. They say the clone is really aliens and human and a double body human form. I'm gonna put some out there for y'all. Rihanna is a reptilian. She's a reptilian. T
Tyra Banks is a reptilian, an alien from another place. Also, I know some of y'all might have heard this before, why not? Yeah, Elijah Muhammad look like a little alien.
Mm-hmm. He sure do. He looked just like a little gray alien.
He sure do. So, even Prophet Noble Drew Ali looked like a little alien. You look at pictures of him. So, the mother plane, which Elijah Mom talked about, that may have been a UFO. That might have been someone on UFO that they spotted in Las Vegas. So, I would just put that out there.
Don't Ezekiel speak about shams, what they call shams, or the wheel upon a wheel? Won't that sound like a craft to you?
Matter of fact, I'm going to pull that up.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to pull that up.
You mentioned something, brother, that I remember as an Awabian. We used to go into a lot, brother, talking about reptilians. And you can see a lot of that on throughout the web. You don't hear a lot of these type of teachings no more and speeches on these type of things no more, where they talk about the extraterrestrial involvement or us being created or mixed from the reptilians. And then if y'all ever heard, I know a lot of y'all have, though, this is old information, some people say we have I ain't said it so long. Hell, I damn near forgot. Was it the serpent brain or something to that degree? Reptilian brain.
I've heard
it?
Of that.
Reptilian brain.
And I remember hearing, cause I used to, that's one thing, out of all the things in the Wabians just teach, I used to get spooked out by a lot of this stuff, like the planet risk all that. But within the last year or two, since, really getting out of the entertainment industry, because, I used to love TV. I used to love, a lot of the movies. But I've grown to have probably like one or two shows I look at on TV. And the reason why is because a lot of celebrities, especially these females, don't look real. And the same thing with porn, too. A lot of those adult film star ladies look like fucking aliens. And trust me, I used to be that dude. That's all I would look at. But now it's just like, I've grown disgusted. I look at a lot of those females because they just don't look human. And a lot of stuff that a lot of these females do, ain't no damn way in hell a female, I don't care how much money you pay a female, ain't no woman going to do all that. A woman ain't going to have, especially some of this stuff that you hear some of these guys saying that they do to some of these females. Nah. There ain't no money in the world to make a woman do a lot of that stuff. So, but I will tell you this, in the book of Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse, and it says, "And when I look, behold the four wheels by the cherubim, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. And as for their appearance, four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel." So that's the UFO sighting, which a lot of y'all Nation of Islam brothers, the old school nation, I don't really hear too much new school nation teaching this. The mother plane. That's what that is. I'm going to tell you something. Even though, I know we done kind of surpassed a lot of that stuff as, brothers who done studied. Elijah Muhammad told y'all a lot about this. He told a lot of y'all about this. And like you said, Dr. Malachi York, same thing with him. You know, brothers laughed at the Planet Risk. You remember the Planet Risk?
Yes,
you remember that?
I still got it, man.
Hell. Hey, Aria, I used to laugh at that stuff. I used to like, what the heck? I used to get spooked out. I'm going to tell you something. But now.
Yes, sir.
No, you know, it's like when you hear it, you first thing you think about is the Twilight Zone. But in the last couple of years, some of these people out here are reptilians. I'm telling you, reptilians. So, yeah, but I just want to put that out there. And like I said, here, a lot of these females who y'all love, entertainment industry, regular entertainment industry, and even adult entertainment industry, they're not real humans. I'm going to put that out there. And some of y'all guys out there, I know y'all want some need women out here, but I'm good. I've been celibate 6 years. I'm telling you, a lot of these women, nah, they can't be real. They can't be real. So, yeah.
Yes, sir. And one thing, it's going to be two things right fast. Well, one, I'm going to go back to the Genesis right fast. And like I said, I'm on the what they call the Safari Bible. And it has contemporary things. I don't know. A lot of people don't know about the different contemporary, like some things they call the Talmud. I'm not a Talmud follower, though, but I just look at a lot of things. I'm a researcher. I just look at things as a student. And there's something they have called contemporary that's basically the person who called Rashi is supposed to be a sage, one of the sages. And now mostly in, I won't say Judaism, you know. But anyway, one thing how he did the contemporary, he was going into Genesis 6 and 4 that I was talking about earlier, and this is one of the contemporary, several contemporary statements that was made. And the part that I'm talking about, Genesis 6 and 4, where it says, and it was then and later too that the Nephilims appeared on earth. That part right there, right? Now, here's what this guy named Rashi, supposed to be one of the sages, how he went into it and gave his contemporary or, you know, thoughts on that particular verse. Now, it says right here. Now, it says that Nephilim means giant, right? That's what they say in the word. Nephilim turns into giant. Now, he says here, the giants, they were called Nephilim because they fell and caused the downfall of the world. This is one thing he commented and says. He says, in Hebrew, the giants are usually called Nephilim. In those days, in the days of the generations of Enoch and the sons of Canaan. But just to go and see what he says, and they fell. And the Nephilim fell. Fell from where? Fell from where? And they caused the downfall of the world. So it goes back and take it back again until you go back into the Sumerian story. It's talk about where you see where it talks about the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki, for those who came down in downs of Dr. York. I remember Dr. York used to go into all of that. And those who came down, he said, in these ships and the crabs and this and that and another. Now, I know some of y'all saying, hold up, man. Ariyah and Dave, hold up. Y'all tripping now. Y'all tripping. I thought y'all were Israelites. What the hell is y'all talking about? Some aliens and what y'all talking about? This I thought y'all believed in the Bible. I thought y'all supposed to read in Torah. I thought y'all believed that y'all said what's that God y'all call him? What y'all call him? Yahweh or Yah or the Most High? I thought y'all created man. So don't y'all know how y'all got here? Y'all say y'all got, you know, ain't that what it said? Then God created the heavens and the earth and everything they in. And you know, Genesis chapter 1 and. And damn, what y'all talking about? Some beings from outer space. Don't y'all believe that? That's what y'all know, right? Yeah, that's what's said. But we're just talking about the different theories that's out here. That may be, just say for instance, if that may be how we may believe it, but every culture don't believe that. We're just saying the different things. Cause hell, like I said, I'm gonna tell you, I don't know how to, even though I'm gonna tell y'all, I not y'all heard me say, I follow Tanakh. But just because somebody written it in there don't mean that that's how in the hell we got here. Because I got to ask you the question, how in the hell he know, or whoever written it, because they weren't there. Hmm? Because if you, because y'all got to look at it. They contributed to Moses. See, this is where a student come in at, right? This is where a student come in to know not everything that's written. You got to look deeper into it. This is where real students learn to not take everything literal. But anyway, that's another whole subject. But the point is that even with we say Genesis was a contributor to Moses, they said those things that they say was then. Now, Moses wasn't there. So how in the heck, how did James Brown get down when Moses would have known how the creation started, right? How he would have known. But, you know, these things are said, even through biblical scholars and said these things were, it's like oral tradition that was passed down and then Moses written them down later through oral tradition. You know, they know he wasn't there, but that's certain different. I want to play this one more thing right, fam. It's just Ancient Aliens again. It says DNA reveal humans and alien hybrids. Check this out. It only like 3 minutes, y'all. 3 minutes.
Leipzig, Germany, 2010. Biologists, led by Svante Paabo of the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology, make a stunning announcement. They have determined that early humans not only coexisted on Earth with other more primitive hominids, they also mated with them. But even more astonishing was their finding that another, as yet unidentified species, may also be represented in human DNA.
Up until now, most people have been familiar with the typical DNA model of human evolution in which you have a very nicely defined progression from previous types of human or hominid life up to anatomically modern humans. That's not true anymore. And what we're seeing is evidence that there could have been interbreeding with what the actual mainstream media is calling mystery species of humans. An anthropologist from the University of Wisconsin, Dr. John Hawks, did a comprehensive analysis of human DNA going back for many thousands of years, and what he found was astonishing. If you look at the DNA from someone in 3000 BC, and you compare that to the DNA of someone alive today, it has changed by 7%.
Mapping the human genome, Dr. Hawks found that in the past 5,000 years, our DNA has evolved at a rate 100 times greater than any previous 5,000-year period in our history.
So what happened in the last 5,000 years that altered the structure of human DNA by 7%? Is it possible that extraterrestrial humans interbred with us sometime in the last 5,000 years, and that could account for these monumental changes in the structure of human DNA?
Could it be that our ancestors are not only hominids who lived here on Earth, but also beings from beyond our world? Ancient astronaut theorists claim that evidence of this can be found in stories throughout history that depict humans mating with gods.
Throughout world cultures and mythologies, this idea of otherworldly beings, gods, supernatural beings, demons, having sex with humans is very, very common. The way that we...
Hold on. Let me stop there for a second. Let me stop there. And then call off and come to you. Call off coming to you. Now, hold on. Wait a minute. Didn't we just read that in Genesis 6 and 4? Genesis, what I was reading in Genesis... Now, I'm just saying this is what they're discussing. I'm not saying this is true, y'all, but listen what they said about the different cultures. But go.
Demons having sex with humans.
Let me back it up. Let me back it up a bit more.
Mythologies.
Mating with gods.
Throughout world cultures and mythologies, this idea of otherworldly beings, gods, supernatural beings, demons having sex with humans is very, very common. The way that we interpret that experience depends on the cultural and religious factors around us.
We can read about these accounts of all sorts of weird beings who had their way with humans. All we have to do is to approach these stories and look at them from a modern perspective to eliminate the always suggested symbolism and look at these events
for what they potentially really were. Encounters with extraterrestrials.
There is abundant, undeniable evidence of human and extraterrestrial interbreeding. It's in so many different cultures that to suggest that it's all a conspiracy theory or a myth or a fantasy is completely illogical.
All righty then, my brother. Let me bring this caller. I got a caller with all ones. Let me bring the caller on. Okay, it's spinning. There we go. Peace to you, caller. We have a caller with all ones. You're on live on Culture Freedom Radio.
Yeah, hello. Are we connected?
Yes, we are. How you doing?
Okay, yeah, thanks. Look, a couple of observations. Well, regarding humans and their habitat. First of all, it appears that there's no evidence that humans have traveled anywhere other than Earth and that any place is hospitable to human life other than Earth. And if you think about it, everything is better today than it was back in, say, what, the late 60s, early 70s when they supposedly went to the moon. Hell, they should have a trail to the moon from Earth right now. And wouldn't that be better as an outpost to travel from the moon to distances beyond rather than starting from the Earth? I think that makes a perfect scenario. But anyway, my point is that outer space is very inhospitable to human life. People who live in the in orbit have a lot of difficulty with bone structure and just bodily functions because they're not under the influence of gravity. We very much need the Earth environment to thrive and exist. And I just don't – and, you know, if humans were to go someplace else as humans, they would have to recreate the Earth environment, the Earth atmosphere, so on and so forth.
Yeah, so you know, I hear what you're saying. You know, that's what they talk. But have you ever heard of the Dogon tribe, out of Mali, Africa?
Yeah, maybe I've heard something about it. But go ahead, and I'll comment on it once you finish.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Well, they actually have, you know, they want us because, like Clint was saying, there's several different, you know, let's say maybe mythologies or traditions from several different cultures way back, but they have a tradition that saying that they originated in from the Sirius star constellation, and they said these beings who they came to them and even taught them called the Nomos. You ever heard about that?
No, but I want to ask you a question. This group, would you consider them a first world expression of human beings today?
Well, these,
in other words, do they have the modern amenities that we have here in the U.S.?
No. Actually, Leonard Seymour did a documentary, remember, In Search Of, years ago, a show called In Search Of. Let me turn this off. But here's the thing about it. See, a lot of these ancient civilizations, they didn't have, like we said, these modern technologies we so greatly proud to say about. How did they know about, and there's written records of it or a tradition thing. How did they know without all of these massive telescopes? How did these, and they don't live in all of these amenities like we got, like New York and places. They are still living in caves and stuff right now and have things carved on the walls. How do they know about these constellations without all of this modern technology that we have today? How do they know?
Well, okay, I think you're asking several questions. You asked a question earlier. I was listening in, and people have been given revelation, and that's the way we have to know things and I'm talking about reliable revelation. That's the only way we can know certain things that antedated us, that came before us, just like with your parents. Your parents told you about your birth, where you were born, and all this kind of information. And for all intents and purposes, you accepted that. I don't know if you went back and investigated it on your own. So that was like revelation to you because you didn't, and that happens to all of us. I'm just pointing that out for you. But that's the way information has to be passed on to a onto contingent beings, dependent beings, contingent and dependent. And so there's nothing wrong with that because there's no other way. But I think a lot of these information, just like the flood story, most the Babylonians and various other groups, cultures, ancient cultures, have a flood story. But it's what that says to us in the aggregate is that there was most likely a flood and that, you know, certain cultures deflected and deviated from that knowledge, the source of that knowledge, and they pretty much landed in darkness. Now, I don't discount everything, the group of people or the culture that you just explained, but I do look at these indices, how well they provide food and medicine for themselves, because those are fundamental to life and thriving. And so if they can't do that, it seems to me that they haven't really been doing their homework. But that's just an observation and a scale that I use for evaluating a culture.
But, brother, but we're looking at, but see, this is the problem. Okay, we're looking at because, okay, and a lot of them still live in caves today. And I'm going to say they live in cave areas today. But they have this information about, and scientists just not finding out a lot of this stuff with modern technology. Like, oh, wait a minute, these people were talking about this. Damn, they weren't lying. We found this stuff now. So it's like, how did they know? And you're saying just revelation, but they are saying that beings came and told them and taught them this information. And like I said, these are things that have been brought down through several. You studied the Sumerians. They talked about the Anunnaki, beings who came down and talked to them. So how do we actually know? Because we don't know. Because just because we don't see these beings, or I'm just talking, we don't see or have interactions with anybody who may be coming down from a star constellations talking to us now. But we do have, they do have secret records that the government say they won't tell you. They keep it top Pentagon secret. We can't tell them about UFOs. We can't tell them about extraterrestrial beings and shit. We don't want to tell them that. What was it? There was one president that said that has, I can't think of his name just right now. But anyway, but I tell you what, let me just play just a little snippet from the Leonard Seymour when he was going into this, just a snippet, just the information about the doggone.
These dances, these masks, these strange rituals have meaning. They describe precisely the relationship between a remote African tribe and the heavens. This tribe believes all life comes from a distant dark star invisible to the naked eye. Recently, modern science was able to find this star and confirm its existence. Now we must ask, how did a primitive people, lacking instruments of any kind, discover a dark star hidden deep in space? In Central Africa, among fortress-like cliffs on the southern edge of the Sahara Desert, live a people called the Dogon. 1,000 years ago, fleeing from warring tribes, the Dogon found refuge here. The Dogon have endured and preserved mysterious ancient knowledge. Knowledge of an invisible star and its movement through the heavens.
That's enough on that, but y'all had to see the video. Y'all had to see. It's called The Dogon Knowledge of the Nomos and Sirius B. You have to look at that. Or just look up the Dogon tribe and, you know, something like that, and the Nomos, and you will see it, because this was good. And like I said, this was when In Search Of, I remember looking at this, where they used to have things about Bigfoot, you know, where Leonard Seymour played Dr. Spock. This is the one that was on it going back in the 70s. And it was a great one. You have
Nimoy.
To see. only them that I'm bringing up with them. There's a brother, Dave, you remember I sent it to you the other day, brother, he was from a Zulu, from the Zulu tribe, brother named Kwaito Mutwaz. And
oh,
he,
I remember him.
Tradition, they have this thing about, well, maybe you might say the reptilians, and they talk about an oral tradition that, that he passed on for years and years. And even David Icke sat down and even did an interview with him. Several Europeans used to go do interviews with him, and he talked about these beings who come up out of the waters. And he had, he used to have a big stone medallion on his neck with this reptilian head on it. And he even talked about how humans came from, you know, beyond the stars. So it's just that I'm looking at a lot of the several African traditions or tribes that speak about this through oral traditions. And there's even some things that's been said that, you know, talk about Kemet and, you know, even speak these things. I mean, and like I said, these before we had, what we looking at all our modern technologies, the spaceships and all of this stuff and the tech, what you call these telescopes. How did these beings, how did these brothers and sisters know about this at that time? You know, they knew about it. And so we're finding out a lot of this stuff by, okay, like, damn, they wrote that, they crazy as hell. How did they can't have known this? They had no telescopes. And then when mankind now, modern our technology, we break the technology, and they like, damn, hold up. These people were right.
Is my mic open?
How the hell did they know this? How could they have known this? But you think about it, like sometimes you go in your backyard today with like sometime, like they said it's supposed to be an eclipse tonight. I can't see it. It's going to storm in Memphis, so I won't be able to see it. So with they didn't have all of this. We talk about all our modern amenities and all of these big starry lights in New York and shit. Certain things you won't be able to see if you in New York, New York. You can't look up in the stars and in the heavens and see a lot of things because all of these lightings and things, you go out in the country, you can just, man, sit back and you can see so clear skies, the stars, the constellations. So it's that you look at even in their time, they didn't have all of that lighting and stuff, the big city lights that's blocking their views to be able to study and look up there and understand what they can see with the naked eye that we can't see because, like, when I be trying to look outside sometime at night, the moons and stuff, I had to cut off all my damn porch lights and all of that shit because I can't hardly see with all that lighting. Once I cut that off and I kind of get in my backyard dark enough, okay, I can look at certain things with the naked eye. But, you know, so it's like, not saying that we actually came from, but it's just, we just talking about tonight. Do we really know our place of origin? Some come with the Darwin theory. We evolved out of this. We evolved. So do we actually know how we got here? There's many different theories. That's all we just throwing out tonight. We're just trying to tell y'all, yes, you did come from this. You did come from that. I'm not saying that. It's just a discussion. But you got something, Chief?
I was going to go to,
Brother Chief.
Deuteronomy. Hey, can't hear me?
Okay.
Can't hear me?
Still on.
I'm here, Chief.
Everybody hear me?
Yeah, but can you hear me?
Can't hear me?
Still, let me do this
out. Can't
hear
me?
You're now tuned in to Culture Freedom Radio, the home of Lions Vibe Radio, Liberation Tabernacle Ministry, and much, much more. Talk radio that wakes.
Hello?
All right. Well, I can't seem to hear nobody. Let me see. Somebody can talk with me. Let me try to dial in.
All right. Can you hear me?
Because I can't hear nothing.
All right,
nah. Me, I can't hear nobody else.
You hear me now? Cam? Hello, can anybody hear?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
you. There's a caller on there. No, he haven't been brought in yet.
The host can't hear us, apparently.
Yeah, he's having some difficulties. But what's your name, or where are you calling from, caller?
Is this the co-host? I'm Solution.
Yeah, we're co-hosts here, Chief Rabbi and Justice.
Yeah, I have a comment to make.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
I have a comment.
A song I just heard, Sunray. All right, go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, thanks. I was going to say, you know, maybe, look, I'm not saying for sure, I don't know. How much do these people actually know? It could have been luck that they guessed. There are a lot of stars out there, and there's no evidence that human beings, as human beings, can travel in outer space or live in outer space. There's no evidence. And, you know, they have radio telescopes now that they can turn the entire Earth into a telescope because of these telescopic placements. And they've been listening since the 50s. They have telescopes in Arizona, in Australia, all around the world. And they've never gotten any intelligent feedback. Now, I deduce from that either there is no one out there or there's no one out there that wants to contact people on Earth. And now it could be that they're so far that, and I'm hopeful that there are extraterrestrials. You know, to the point, Jesus is the only one we really have a documented record of. As far as there being other extraterrestrials, we have zero evidence of that.
Appreciate you, Joseph. I'm back in, brother. Appreciate you for jumping in there. I don't know why. I can't hear. I couldn't hear y'all, but I had to call.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I couldn't hear y'all at all, man. I'm back in now. Appreciate you, Joseph, standing in.
Yeah, we got a caller on. His name, Solutions. He's dropping in about how he thinks on the Dogon people that he's thinking they might have struck up on luck and guessed a lot of guesswork, and then they come back hundreds of years with technology and find out what they said was right and correct. So I don't know.
What do they really know? And what are they telling us? Like I say, it could be luck. People have studied the heavens for a long, long time. And, you know, but these people, there's nothing that follows if this is true. Say they truly have some knowledge about beings from outer space.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else in their culture seems to buttress that. Nothing else seems to support that. And
well,
it
brother,
could have been
like
just
said,
a stroke of luck that, you
that's
know, there
I
are
asked
a lot
you,
of stars
you,
out there, and they just happen
that's why
to
I asked
point.
You, brother, do you know anything about their culture? Because, again, if you study them and you look up their culture, they have ceremonies. They have ritual dances and everything that goes to and ritual stuff, you know, annual things to celebrate that commemorate mm-hmm. their contact with these beings and that contact. Mm-hmm. But here's something we have to see. Again, I'm hearing what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we do we really trust NASA and the government to really expect for them to tell us everything that they see and everything that they have actually made contact with somebody? Because if
no.
that's the case, we think they're being on the up and up with us. Why would they have secret documents? They have stuff that when they go out in the satellite, they block out certain images that you can't see. Why, if they was being on the up and up with you, why would there be certain things they have they blocked out, and then it's like the Pentagon, like the government, they have, well, this is now, we can put this
not
out
secret.
To the public now.
Secret.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I'm not saying they're
on
the
up
and up, sir. I mean, I would be the last one to say that, but, you know, we do have the Internet today, and we have ways of getting information, transferring and transmitting information that we've never had before. So
that's true. That's true. But
so,
here's an
so
ancient
I'm just
people
saying,
that was. But I'm saying, my brother. But here's an ancient people who was not in cahoots with every civilization. It's just when I look at it, there's different ancient civilizations that had similar things and stories about even in Peru and the Aztecs and all of these people that have these similar stories and. You know, but they don't have anything to hide because they're not an organized body of you know, tribe to say we want to keep this undercover. We're going to lie to the people like the United States government and NASA them would do today. You know, see, now we can understand because they them some lying asses right there. They will tell you some lies. But these nations, these tribes, why do we see this thousands of years? All of these tribes who never connected with each other that we know of have these similar stories about something and some beings, maybe different names, that said they have interaction with beings for from amongst the stars. Why do we have this? Without all this modern technology now, we would trust the United States government and NASA than these people? Because what do they have? I mean, government, I'm just asking. We trust their word over these people who never met each other and have these same similar stories.
Right. They wrote it down, too. They wrote it down and mapped out stars and all kinds of things with that years and years ago, like even thousands of years ago. They've put that on some type of material where you can see what it is that they were trying to show you and tell you about.
Yes, sir. That's his name, Woodrow Wilson. That's him. Woodrow Wilson. It was a thing with him years ago. And notice every president that get elected to office, even Obama, what do they tell us? They're going to reveal when they get in office about alien contact with the planet. But when they get their ass in there, what do? They never bring that shit up no more. But they tell us that every time they run for office, we're going to reveal all the secrets about alien contact. And you never hear it anymore.
Bro, don't.
Your mama George Clinton, the Funkadelic singer, used to tell us about the mothership.
Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you mean George Clinton?
He used to always talk about the mothership.
Oh,
and you know
George,
what? And you know what? They say Elon Musk has said, I was reading an article recently, and I'm going to text it to you. That way you can bring it up.
Yes,
but Elon Musk has said that by 2026, he will be able to get everybody to Mars. And when I heard that, I was like, well, you know, Elon Musk is kind of weird because he's another.
But you know, Elon Musk.
Let me ask you a question, if I may.
He smoked some of the wildest kind of weed or something because. You can even see footage of him smoking weed. Man, he be coming up with some far-fetched, far-out stuff. And when you get billions and billions of dollars, you are a psychopath. And he's a psychopath, too. And all of those billionaires are psychopaths. Okay?
Yeah, I have a question.
Why not
have this super ambitious goal of going to Mars when the moon is right there? What is the moon, about 250,000 miles away? Why not colonize the moon?
Can't do any of that. It's all psychopathic to even think you can do any of that. It's really ridiculous. It's absurd.
I think you're right. Now, I'm hopeful. You know, when I was in college, one of my greatest hopes was that there were extraterrestrial beings. But I'm going to tell you something. If there are extraterrestrial beings and we're in an evolutionary cycle, that is the entire nature, universe, they probably won't be friendly. And just like, you know, America, just like people in the world, earthlings, preyed upon each other, I'm pretty sure someone as advanced that has mastered space travel will not be friendly to peons.
Well, they won't be, especially when they find out your intention. So they know everything. They have the most incredible, you know, type of ways of knowing what people think and what they're doing. They have all kinds of everything to know what's going on. Like, I'm telling you, you thought that when you watch Star Trek and you seen people go invisible and beam me up, Scotty, and all that. Well, look, that's real for the aliens and the UFO. That's a real thing, not for psychopaths, though. But the real deal is that, yes, there is a higher force in the universe that patrols the universe, and they protect the universe and they keep everything in harmony, and they will do away with anyone who wants to do something foul in space, or bring some kind of nuclear warheads to space or anything, or they will dismantle that whole operation because they can see what you're doing. They know what you have on your ship. Every plane that goes up off the ground, there's a little UFO that monitors what's on the plane and who's on the plane. Maybe one or two, but every plane is checked by a UFO.
How did Hiroshima and Nagasaki slip through?
You know, that's a good question, but what I would say to that question is that it was allowed to happen.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yes, sir. And whatever
the case, I mean, everybody's an invader. Everybody's a foreigner to the planet. Nobody really doing things right. So sometimes they just let two devils do each other in.
And just like it's a deep conversation because, like, even going back to this thing, like, all of this is just, you know, could be theories or whatnot. But there's some stuff that came out because you're talking about Mars, Elon Musk going back to Mars. There's even some stuff that was talked about the Dolphin Project. And, you know, that was, you know, how true it is or not. I'm not saying none of this is true, y'all. It's just, we're just having conversation. And there's conversation that talked about humans that was living, that lived on Mars one time. And somehow this, I forget how the whole, it's been so long since I studied this stuff and read on it. But it was like we came here originally from Mars, something that was happening on that planet, and came to Earth. So just say if that was true, so why wouldn't they want to go back home? It's like E.T., I want to go home. Me go home. E.T., go home. So if they originally came from Mars and something happened with that planet, notice they always keep talking about Mars. They've been talking about Mars for a long time, even when I was little. Always talking about Mars. So maybe E.T., which man, want to go back home. He trying to go back to which he came from. It's reason, not Mars, because you never hear him talking about they came from the moon. Because there are even things that go back. You study about Planet X, where they talk about Planet X and how this thing they call Tiamat, this asteroid that hit this planet, and the moon was created from, you know, rock forms that came from the Earth. So there's no need. There's no thing for them to go to the moon because they like the pieces of the moon. Just, you know, it was shattered that came off the Earth. But if they originally came from Mars, it's like this theory they was been throwing out. They originally came from Mars. Your whole plan is, one day I want to go back home. I miss home, so let's go back home to Mars. That's just something,
right?
Just, you know.
Yeah. Let me respond to that if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, bro.
Okay. See, the thing is, there that, and I'm not saying you, but that makes no sense in terms of logistics. Because on the moon, there are resources, okay? And being that the moon could be an outpost to outer space makes perfect sense. Why would one try to go in a hostile environment directly to the destination when, you know, starting from the moon, there's less interference in terms of gravity? I mean, it would be look, if space travel were possible, it would make absolute sense to have a base on the moon, not the Earth.
Well, you know, they were talking about selling land on the moon at one time. You do know that one, then.
Well, yeah, but I'm speaking strictly in terms of space travel. It just makes all the sense in the world to have a base on the moon to refuel, to get your navigation, to have the moon as an outpost.
But again, like it's just like, you know, I guess it's all speculation. But again, like they say that, you know, according to that theory one time, that mankind did come from there and something was happening with the planet and then they left and came here. So your goal is to try to go back from which you came, right? You want to always go back home, like E.T. again, like I said, E.T. E.T. want to go home because you miss home. Hell, any dog, anything that runs away, he going to miss home. They always want to try to get back home. So maybe that's why. They don't give a damn about how what's close. They want to go back home.
Right. But I tell you what, Mars is completely inhospitable to human life. One could not survive on Mars for a minute. The atmosphere just wouldn't permit it.
And that's the thing, you know, it really, you know what, everything is really speculation, you know, because again, we have to, anything, just even what I'm talking about, we're just trusting what they're telling us. We don't actually know. I don't have a telescope. I don't have nothing to tell you what's on the next planet, how the atmosphere is. All of it is just what they're telling us. Again, it's the same people that don't want to tell you about if there is life outside. You know, Stephen Hawking used to kind of talk about it a little bit. But, you know, if there is, they're not. Who the hell we expect for them to tell us? Because the leaders, right, that we'll just say to these elites, like Elon Musk, Dave, you were talking about Elon Musk, the Rockefellers and that. You think they really want to tell us? Hey, man, y'all don't want to go there, man. That life is hostile. And then they knowing this planet is about to, you know, go at any time. Something is about to happen to this thing. Next thing you know, we be looking around and we see there are several spaceships flying in the sky. Like, what the hell is that? What's going on? Where the hell are they going? That's all the elite is on the spaceship going to Mars. All the time they've been telling us it's a hostile environment because they didn't want us to try to sneak on the goddamn ship to go. They told us that lie because if we told them, hey, look, we told them that's a good environment and this planet is about to erupt, they don't want to go there. They ain't going to want to go there. We're going to keep their ass here. So
Let me ask you a question. We do know, and I hear what you're saying, and you make
I'm
a good point.
I'm just throwing out something, isn't it?
Yeah. However, this would be my point. It's not easy to get into outer space. Would you agree with that?
I'm just be honest. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, think about it for a minute.
I'm just be honest. Go ahead.
Think about it. I mean, it's hard to get in outer space. It's what's escape velocity? 25,000 miles per hour to break loose from the Earth's. You know, the Earth's atmosphere has a pull. It has a stabilizing effect, right? We do know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's hard to get off the Earth. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Were you talking to me or someone else?
No, I'm just kind of saying what you said, because they do say, some people say they never really leave outside of Earth's atmosphere, even when we see them out there with the satellite, what do you call that, what's that thing, the shuttle or whatever that is. They say they're
I just mentioned that earlier. No, they're at the upper limits. They're still in Earth's orbit. They're in a geocentric orbit. They're not in outer space proper.
Yeah, there you go.
And even that is difficult because they start to lose muscle mass, they start to lose bone mass, and when you get in outer space, the radiation is hella because you don't have the protection of the Earth's atmosphere. So what I'm saying to you, we can sit here and deduce that it's not easy to get into outer space.
That's true. And here's another thing I've always heard. They said that the reasons earthlings can't leave here because we've been placed on Earth as it was just some stuff they were throwing out here just before. It was funny that we've been placed here on quarantine. Earth is a quarantine, and we can't leave this place. It's like we've been placed here like in prison, like, and we are basically like in quarantine on the planet. That's one reason we can't never leave. Y'all ever heard that before?
No. I've heard that before.
Okay, yeah. And just some stuff they were saying. Earth is a quarantine, and we can't leave the damn planet. That's why they can't never just go all the way out there. So I don't know how true that is, y'all. It's just some stuff we just throwing out, man. Different conversation. So I don't know. But I just wonder, like I said, you know, about these, if, you know, even about, people always talk about the reptilians and things that come here. They say the reptilian brain. I mentioned that earlier, Justice. So But the thing I always wondered, even, you know, really do, I wonder, how the hell did we get here, you know? Because people always talk about evolution. And I've been really going with this evolution stuff. They said we evolved from this primate to whatever they said. We were brought from this, to homo dad, homo. And I always want to say, okay, well, what in the hell that first thing came from then? Whatever the first one were, what did whatever it came from, what did it come from?
Where did what come from? I'm sorry.
I can't think of all the different names they be talking about. You know, they talk about evolution, the different
Homo
ancient
erectus,
man.
Homo sapiens,
yeah.
And all that.
Yeah.
Hey, could I give you just one more, if you don't mind, before we move to this subject? I have just one other idea about the inhospitable nature of outer space.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Everest is about 29,000 feet. Okay, and... Yeah. Also, I study aviation. You know, when you fly in a commercial jet, they have to pressurize the cabin to try and mimic Earth's atmosphere because you'll pass out. They lose cabin pressure, right? You're familiar with that.
I think I've heard
that.
That's
right.
Yeah, okay. So now if it starts to get difficult and deadly within our own atmosphere, the higher elevation one goes because there's less air.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just kind of start multiplying that, once you get at a high enough altitude, one doesn't even have to leave the planet Earth to see that the higher we get from sea level, the more difficult it is for life, that is human life.
Interesting.
I'm just sort of stair-stepping to start with something we know. And you talk about people, I read about mountain climbing. People who climb Everest, for example, a lot of people die up there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. And so the thing is...
With the breathing, the air condition? I mean, the air, not the air condition, but the air, the environment, I mean, the air.
Well, not only is it the air thinner, it's cold up there. See, because in order for heat to really be available to us, there have to be objects that heat can be absorbed by. And that's why in outer space, it's really cold out there. It's hella cold.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, and you look at these people, for example.
Solution. Depends on how which direction you go when you leave Earth. So if they want to go towards Mercury or Venus, it's extremely hot in that direction. But if you go in the opposite direction of Mars, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and those, then you'll find that it gets colder. Each planet that you go and find out how cold it is at that planet, Mars is 700 degrees below zero on average, Fahrenheit. And it gets as low as 850 degrees Fahrenheit below zero on Mars. So say you went to Jupiter. Jupiter is 1,600 degrees below zero. And if you went further, you're going to go into thousands and thousands degrees below zero. The further you go, like if you get to Neptune, you're talking about 20,000, 25,000 degrees below zero. So you can't survive anywhere you won't even get close to Mars because you'll freeze to death way before you get there. Because as soon as you leave the Earth's atmosphere headed in that direction, you're going to get further and further away from the sun. This planet is designed for humans to live on. A long time ago, Mars was in a position where it was a lot closer to the sun, and it made it hospitable for people to live on. But we're talking about over 76 trillion years ago. So prior to 76 trillion years ago, life was living at Mars, and Mars was dying out, and the positions of the planets were changing. And that's what made Mars die out, because it got pushed further away from the sun. And Earth is much more hospitable, and you would say they design mechanisms to come to Earth, and it's like building a ark of some sort and putting people there, and then, okay, we're going to the Earth here. Like, everybody didn't make it. But, you know, like, okay, so you talk about the giants, some real, real big, extraordinarily large people. And there's different points in time on Earth where the genome of the human, a humanoid, was huge. We could go back. I'm going to go back. Let's go back a billion years ago on Earth.
Wait a minute. Could I insert something just before you go on, and then
sure.
I'll just
sure.
listen to you.
Go ahead.
I want to just – I don't want to get too far in outer space. Look, some parts of Earth are hospitable. If you look at the people, take note of the people that hide away in the wheel wells of these jet aircraft. Now, they're only spending a short time in that wheel well, but the vast majority of those people are frozen solid.
What people are you referring to?
People who climb, people, and there are people who do it all the time. You can read about it.
Mountain. Okay.
But no, people who climb into the wheel well of jet aircraft and freeze to death.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, because like you say, it's colder the higher you go up. And the further you get away from the sun, and so, you know, you can't, your body is only designed to withstand a certain point before it is, your heart is going to stop beating because you're froze. I don't know. I'm kind of in motion right now, so I'm not, like, on my throne and my thoughts are so...
No, you're right. It's kind of like the cryonic freezing. You know, it just freezes and you die.
Yeah,
because,
you can't handle but so much cold in your body. I mean, like, you got to just know, like, if your body is 96 degrees or 7 or roughly in that area on average.
Right.
And if you take your body down to a low temperature and your body is supposed to be at 96, but you done brought it down to 54, and then it's just going down even further, and you don't have any clothing articles or enough clothing articles or something to breathe a very cold air that your heart won't be too cold for 96 degrees or 97, 98 degrees that your body always maintains.
Right,
so
and that's here on Earth.
I
just want to make sure we understand where we are. That's right here.
Yeah, you can freeze to death. I mean, anything. You can actually, you can get too hot and overheat, you know, die from heat exhaustion. You can freeze to death. So any kind of condition, you can die in if you don't have good air quality. If you're breathing smog or breathing smoke, you can absolutely die because you don't have any clean H2O to breathe. So
that'll
kill your heart right away.
Yes, hey, and brother, I'm gonna bring. Yes, and Dave, I'm gonna bring another call on the line, right? I'm gonna bring the brother on the go ahead, Dave. Area code 864. You are on the call log. You're in the conversation.
Welcome to Culture Freedom Radio 864.
Hey, what's going on? Peace, fam.
What's going on? What's on your mind?
I guess the discussion, the origin, I guess you guys are having a discussion of, and I just caught you guys at a point of having the discussion of if we know our origin. And, you know, I'm convinced that, you know, especially speaking about black folk or African people, as what science says, it seems like we are pretty much a people that have been undefined, been torn away from its roots, from its historical content, substantial historical content. And I think in order for us to even fathom having that organic discussion of talking about where we came from, I think we're going to have to at least have and be engaging organically in history, not his story, not hearing the European tell stories about himself, glorify himself, but looking at ourselves and our contribution to humanity and not just realizing that, hey, we are humanity as a whole, but no, we are actually an aspect, a portion of humanity. And in that portion, from how I have been learned, we are the most organic people, portion of that, you know. So even as it relates to the discussion, a lot of people that I came up with, they look at the Bible to have this discussion of where they came from, right? And, you know, any library that I've gone into, not to step on anybody's toes, but the Bible is not there as having, as being a reference book. You understand? It's not there serving the purpose of we're going to go back here and look at what dates, where we, you know, it's not there. So, you know, I think this is a worthwhile discussion that we should be having, rather than the discussions of how we further lose ourselves and say we are something that we are not. You understand? I think it is an honest, you know, place to be at, to have the discussion of saying, well, hey, who are we? You understand? Do we know who it is that we are? A lot of people say that, hey, I'm not an African. I'm an Indian. I'm not an Indian. I'm a Christian. You know, some people say their race is Christian, you know. So a lot of people don't even believe that. They feel like they're American. So I guess you would have to be honest in having a clear and honest perception of who you are in order to have a clear and honest perception of who and where we came from.
Sir, and brother, what name or title can we call you? You don't mind?
Boz. You can call me Boz, B-A-Z.
Yes, sir, Boz. Brother, I'm going to promise you for a minute on something, Boz. Now I'm going to start from myself. I subscribe to like tradition, right? And I'm Toron, no New Testament, but that's everybody's preface. But I'm just saying something. Now, I mentioned something earlier. We were talking about some stuff when I went to Genesis, about 6 and 4, about Philium, these beings that came down. We're just going into some of that earlier. But I'll tell you, brother, because you mentioned the Bible, like people said after that. Now, for me, I'm a brother who understands and studies mythology. So even with going with the Bible narrative about how we came to this earth and saying the creation, is just one narrative of a people and their mythology who, in tradition, we don't exactly know who the tribe was, but that was just said for Israel. Because it wasn't Israel at that time, but for the Hebrews, that was their origin. Maybe explain how they see the world and how it got started. That, because, you know, I've studied Samaria, I studied all of it, and I understand mythology. So yeah, even with that, but you know, people today take that serious, like that's how we get here. You know, like you said, straight from the Bible, they take you, that's how we got here. But no, that is one myth, because you got Kemet that has how we got here. So I'm just letting you know, from me and Kemet, I don't take that I don't take that as the gospel literally and say that's trying to tell people about how we got here. No, I ain't going to tell you that's the origin of how we got here. I mean, the traditions and mythology of what. So I just had to, because you mentioned the Bible. So that's me. It's me. Our Israelites ain't going to outright tell you that. I'm saying, they're not going to be that honest to say that, but that's just me.
Kyle, speak on something.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Dave.
All right. Now, in the book of Isaiah, it says, seek ye of the book of the Lord and read, and no one of these shall fail you. That's what it says in the book of Isaiah. Now, when we're talking about seeking, you know, such the truth. I'm glad you brought that up, brother. And Moray Aria. know, you make an excellent point, because most Israelites aren't going to be that, you know, honest. Now, I'm agree with Morey Ariya, but this is something also. I'm looking at it from another degree also. When we're looking at hell, and I understand, brother, you know, I don't know what school of thought, you know, you stand on or what you've been in the past.
He dropped off the line, Jeep, so without the line. Maybe he's still listening, but he dropped off the line. I'll lie.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm still address him.
Yes, sir.
And if he comes in, no cool beans, you know, I love you, brother, but you can listen into the show. Now, when it comes time for, you know, especially with books, and I understand, I hear that reference of what he's saying with a lot of brothers and sisters nowadays. Now, we hear, I'm not knocking, you know, anybody or what they study or, you know, or what they're into, but I will say this, and I will say this, and I don't care what nobody else says. When it comes time for a lot of these historians, especially the John Henry Clarks, the Walter Williams, is that the guy named that we was talking about the other week? John G. Jack, John G. Jackson, is that his name? He was with, you know, Dr. Clark and all them, Dr. Clark. Him, John Jackson, I think his name was John G. Jackson. Him, Dr. Yosemite Yalcanon, hell, Elijah Muhammad, Dover Drew Ali, Prophet William Crowley. Okay. I don't care. Like, I don't care what they've been in. And I say this all the time. All of them go back to the Torah. All of them. I don't care, even if it's the whole Bible, which, you know, I'm an Old Testament Jew, but I understand you got Messianic brothers. When they go in and get their Masonic degree, but enter the apprentice, fellow craft, master mason, all walk in on the Bible. All of them. So regardless of what these other people say from these other schools of thought, all of them, they won't go right back to the Bible. When they die, they ain't going to pray no Haru. They ain't going to pray no Aset. They ain't going to pray no Allah hell. Even Dr. Khalid Muhammad, look up this funeral. His ass had his funeral in a Christian church. All of these people, even Elijah Muhammad's funeral won't at the mosque. You know, and a lot of these people, all of them, yeah, even Dr. Yusuf Bey, who was a great leader out in Oakland, you know, who he did a lot for black people. His funeral was at a Christian church. All these guys, I don't care what they say, they all go in and into the church. All that stuff to do. Well, I studied Haru and the Perimitu and the Akhenaten and all. Ain't none of them. Let me tell you something. Ain't when they walk in that lodge, which all of them do, if they're a community leader, they're all Mason. They're going to walk in with that Bible being on the altar. All the altar. So I'm just going to tell that brother, I love you, brother, and I understand, you know, brothers got their, you know, different tastes and their different points, but that, all that stuff that you hear, John Henry Clark, and what was the other one, Dr. Yosemite Yalcanon, I'm going to tell you something. They, out of all the books, they could throw all of them in the trash, all that, they went to Egypt. And they studied with Ashwar Quasi. Well, how come they ain't the Egyptian book is dead? How come ain't none of y'all walking around with that? How come every time when people gotta debate something. Every time people got to debate something, it's always the Bible. It's always the damn Bible every time. Oh yeah. What we gonna do? The Israelites. Well, what's your if you fine with Kemet, why don't you be fine with Kemet and sit your ass down over there? Then, and when they debate us, if they shit predate the Torah and the Bible, how come they don't bring out their Egyptian book of the day? How come they don't debate us with the 42 laws of Moses? Huh? They can't do it. So, you know, and I love you. And, you know, and y'all know I love you. Y'all know the brother that call in. Brother, I don't know you, but I love you. Still, but don't get it twisted, bro. Don't get it, cause all that space and all that. Name me one book that was out back in the day that can tell you about earth and heaven and all that. Y'all can't tell me none. Y'all can't. What book can tell you about Mars and earth and heaven? Hey, you can't go to none of the books. Ain't no book. You know, y'all talk about the libraries. I'm going to tell you something. All them people that you see them white books and stuff, let me tell you some of the Champollion and all them French travelers and stuff, they all made that stuff up. Hell.
That's right, Chief. That's right. That's why they burned all the libraries down. That had all the proper, true, correct information of the world and every in the history of the world. They totally burned that up.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
So what the hell? They want to make up their story after that. Oh, this is the story, his story.
But
don't change.
But what we got?
They don't change.
But even when we look at going into books again, there's a lot, as I was talking about, the Dogon, their tradition. And this is what a lot of the people in the conscious community seem to get off track at when they bring out a lot of stuff and talk about the first, this, that, and another. I don't give a damn about no first. I don't give a damn about no first. But anyway, you can walk into a building and there's a sniper and get your ass shot first because you're the first one to walk in the building. A good thing? No, it's not. So it first don't mean a shit to me. But anyway, a lot of things there's no writing. There is no writing. There's no parchment paper. There is nothing written on stones. But it's oral tradition and it's there before anybody written down anything. Even when you go and even talk about a Bible we have today in our collection and on our field, modern time, there it was no collection of the Bibles. It wasn't no first five books. It was a parchment paper over here. It was a stone tablet over there. And later they combined and collected a lot of things and then they put it together. But before even that, a lot of things were through oral tradition. And then some decide, well, we better write this down. And like we might read a lot of the books, like I said, Moses. They might say, "Well, we're gonna ascribe this to Moses." Moses didn't write that down, but he ascribed it to somebody maybe who, and in certain clans, tribe, whoever was the most prominent or dominant person of that tribe, they might ascribe things to that individual. They didn't write them down. Other individuals who was logging this down. We get off track with a lot of things. We talk about books today because we're in modern time, arguing about ancient traditions, ancient cultures. But we have to look at it, and that's how I'm just myself. This is how I look at things today. I get an understanding. I try to place myself. Okay, how were they thinking about this? What we're saying today, what this is and what that is. How did they say? Is this what that is? Did they say this is what this means? today. So you have to place yourself, you know you can't, but place yourself in their mindset, in their time, instead of in our westernized mind, in our 2022 mindset of today, trying to argue their point of view from thousands of years ago. And we talk about books today when they were written, they weren't in no damn collection form like we have today. And number one, if we even talk about the Bible, we talk about the Bible, everybody didn't have no damn Bible in their home like we do today. You had to go to the synagogues. You had to go to the temples and places to even read the parchment papers. Certain things, the priests were the only ones who had these things in their possessions. Even when they did collect it, everybody didn't have no Bible in their damn house. Everybody didn't have none in their house. They didn't have the Purim Haru. We mentioned the Purim Haru. I actually bought me one over there the other day. I always gave mine away because I'm a student. Like, I'm a student of learning. I don't give a damn what tradition I say I may be in. I'm a student of learning, trying to get wisdom to build my temple. I can't worry about nobody else, but about me, to better build a better me. But anyway, the Purim Haru, the reason that you can't walk around with the Purim Haru like some people might do, the Bibles, they put it all, the Bible on the back of the damn dashboard, let the sun hit it and all burn it up, throw it on the back of the car, all type of shit. But they don't talk about the Bible, the world of the Most High, the Bible, the word of God, but you just got to throw it all in your ass, boy. But it's so sacred to you. Another thing, that's here nor there. The Purim Haru, you cannot walk around with the Purim Haru. Why you say that, Ariah? Because it's not like even they tell you to cherish the Holy Quran. It's supposed to be the highest book up on your ship. The Purim Haru is a book of basically what they say, spell prayers for the deceased. If you not walking around dying, if you not finna die in 15 years, you're not going to be walking around with the Purim Haru in your pocket. Well, it's too big for you to carry in your pocket. But you're not going to be walking around with a Purim Haru unless you get ready to die in the next 15 minutes and you're trying to cast
your ass.
I'm breaking up.
Breaking up a little bit.
My bad. Let me take
the
switch.
Okay. So if you're not done ready to die in the next 15 to 20 minutes, you're not going to be walking around with a Purim Haru in your possessions. You're just not going to do it because it is a book of spells and charms to, let me turn this off. I hear my SF echo. That is what it is about. So if you're getting ready to, you know, make that transition, you might have a Purim Haru in your pocket because you're getting ready to make the transition. It's a book that was make sure, as they say in Kemet, that it was trying to make sure you have a positive transition to the underworld, as they say, to the underworld or to the afterlife. So this is why you don't see anybody walking around with a Purim Haru like you see a Bible or a Holy Quran. And you shouldn't even see them walking around.
Sorry, I don't hear you.
He went out. Yeah, he went out.
He'll figure a way back in. So,
I'm back.
Go ahead,
I may have hung myself up.
Damn.
But I just want to throw that out. I just want to throw that out there right fast, man, because I got these Bluetooth and I'm trying to set it in my ear and I cut the button out. But this is why, like I said, we have to understand a lot of things, brothers and sisters. See, a lot of things, brothers and sisters, we stagnate ourselves because we get into a certain traditions and we study nothing else but our tradition. Like I said, Sun Ray, I've studied everything. Brother Justice, you've seen a lot of the books I just showed you that I bought recently. I bought a lot of my comedic. I rebought a lot of comedic books. Am I going back in the start saying my name is Haru so-and-so? No, I'm not. I study traditions. I study history. I am trying to learn self and learn about the ways of the world. Nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
So caught up in some things we don't even understand about our own freaking tradition because we don't study enough. So that's even right. To understand is only thing to learn about when you go even to learn about some of the things of Kemet is to learn about the cosmology. You see, Rena, I'm doing like this because I took a lot of stuff literal myself at one time, even when I was in Kemet, even though I was initiated into the craft of Kemet. But still, again, I took certain things literal. Now when I go back, so my mind is open. I'm like, God damn, that's why I'm going back into the books. Now look at it. I said, oh, okay. Now I get a clearer picture because my mind is more open and I have thorough knowledge now. And so a lot of things I truly do understand, it was all about cosmology. Certain things you might see where this was a god is a power force that they were describing, even like they say science. But in another way that they was describing things that was happening around them, but they might give you a different name. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Let me go ahead, bro. I'm going to let y'all go ahead.
No, I ain't gonna be. I'm gonna be brief on this because it's based.
Are you good? You good, brother? You good? I spoke enough.
Okay, it's based on the books that you showed me, and I did some more. I mean, even with that little part that you highlighted for me to read, and I read it, and then doing some other Kemetic research and studies to have some understanding of how in different periods of time, different rulers or people who practiced Ma'at and who were kings and queens of ancient Kemet, lower and upper Kemet, that, you know, they would inherit each other's greatness. So if you had a great Ptah, like he was this one that was this great thinker, this brilliant black man who just knew how to build, and he just was so intelligent and so balanced and in tune that people, after seeing, you know, witnessing him and him being an embodiment of the Creator himself, that he had all of those qualities. And what happens is the next king inherits those qualities, and then his qualities that he inherits on top of the qualities that he has, it's interchangeable. It's like, okay, Ptah was around for a good period. Then, you know, you're going to deal with Asar. So Asar, he was a great king and all like that, and he was, you know, like he was killed and everything. We know his story, but what I'm saying about him is that from Ptah and the helm and their greatness and what they had in their minds, it just kind of, okay, the God is like, okay, it's like you reinforce as the next one comes, then he has greater strength, greater insight, greater wisdom somehow, sometimes, and he inherits all of these traditional principles and whatnot, and adds to it in his period of time of his living. So it is a wonderful thing just to pass down the traits of God throughout time to each other. We're all, you know, in the line of the brotherhood of God, you know, like it, that's just how I see it. Okay.
Yes, sir. And my brother, I want to kind of get back on what we were with, because my brother online, I forget my brother's name, the first brother to call in. I forget my brother's name. I don't think I caught it, but you said it just earlier. Was it not? What's your name,
Bob.
No.
Solutions.
No. Solutions. Yeah. That's my brother there. Because he was speaking in the language that our brother, Alpha Male, I know that he loved. And so I want to get back on that. Because, you know, dealing with the space science and things, you know, that's our brother Alpha Male conversation. And for a matter of fact, Alpha Male actually is the one who originated this conversation. It's been a while back because, you know what I'm saying, he originated this conversation because, you know, we were talking about something and Alpha Male said, well, I can't probably paraphrase him exactly what he said, but he said something like, I feel like sometimes I'm not from this planet. That's why I said this conversation originated from what he said.
Right, because the Dogons are the same way. They they, in the image of what you sent me, and what, well, maybe it was something else that I was doing or I was watching or something about the Dogons. I'm not sure if it was the one you sent, but they have inside of their soul a manifestation of how life and how the Creator created everything. So because their feet are on the ground and in that soil there, and that they at night will study each star alignments and every night map them out and write them. I mean, like, actually draw them out. Thing they see in the sky each night for a period of 1 year. Okay, and then after that year, they're going to do it again. But they're doing it every night. And this is how they were able to find Sirius B, because they were able to identify after tracking the stars for hundreds and hundreds of years as a people is what they were doing as a tradition at night. And so they learned so much information about the cosmos and the alignment of the stars and everything, you know, how the formulation of the mind of the Creator would have things be, because they're silent. They're in tune with the moon. They're in tune with the stars. They know that they are stardust. They came from stars. You know, it's in their blood. It's in their who they are. It's like they know that they are from the Creator, and the Creator gave them insight on the alignment of the cosmos and how that they feel with inside of themselves that they came from Sirius B, or that we came from Sirius B, or how they were able to figure out that all of them together, and then accurately later on, the scientists would determine that what they said was true about the hidden planet that can't be seen with the naked eye that they call Sirius B, because Sirius A is another star that you can see with the naked eye. And it sits near Sirius B. But Sirius B is so close to it that the brightness of Sirius A will block out Sirius B. And you can only see Sirius B on particular nights or a particular period of the year, like a particular, you know, time of the year. And you can only see it at that time. So they were like, oh, look at that. At a certain point, they all looked up. So, look at this right here, and they all agreed that this is what we see, and that this in our heart that that's the planet that we come from. It's a melanated place.
Mm-hmm. And my brother that was on earlier, he was on earlier, brother, because he mentioned that we were talking about what you said about the Dogon. And brother, if you could you elaborate? You saying that they might have had some revelation, if you don't mind, how they knew that.
Are you referring to me?
Yes, sir. Because I think Justice, he was in and out earlier because he didn't get a chance to catch what you were saying when we were talking about that earlier. So you saying how they had might had a revelation and not just actually knew that? Could you kind of elaborate what you were saying on that earlier?
Yeah. Well, two things. We need revelation. All of us. We need revelation of that which we were not around to observe. Okay, we have to get it from revelation. And we don't always, we should be careful about the revelation, no doubt. But we do have to have revelation, and many times it works. Now, the other thing that I mentioned was that, see, people obviously came from a single point of origin. I think science is pretty well set on that. And I would say at the Tower of Babel, or Babel, where you had all the world's people that gathered at that particular point, that was a very significant, what we call a singularity. And, of course, they were dispersed because their languages were confused. So it seems to me that possibly and probably that is the way we get a flood story from the Sumerians, the Babylonians, you know, of course, the Jews, the Hebrews, because at one time they were all one people, and they dispersed from a singular place. So I just think that helps.
You're talking about race mixing and intermingling with different groups of different people coming from different regions, like Indo-Europeans meeting up with Africans or Asians meeting up with Arabs, or, you know, like it's a race mix thing, and then they all end up at this place with Tower of Babel where they all come with their languages and they all from different regions of the planet or whatever, and it's confused, like you're saying.
Well, let me say this. Now, that's a sort of trigger word, race, at least for me it is, because, look, we all are of one race, the human race, and I like to talk about sometimes species. Human beings, very interestingly, are the only species, and the definition of a species is those which can mate and produce reproductively capable offspring. Human beings are the only ilk or only genre of creatures that are capable of that. You take, for example, a hummingbird and an ostrich. They're both birds, different species. Human beings, the word race, that's only used a lot of times. That was used to abuse people. I mean, people
use that.
Let me
say this, solutions.
I'm listening.
You listen? Okay, second, man. All right, so you got what you call a race of people, and then you got human people. All right, so there is a difference.
Well, see, give me the example. I'm not following your example.
You messed me up with that one too, Jesse.
I'm gonna point to it to you like this. The other day, a man had a sign. As I was going past him, he says, "I'm not a bad human. I'm just bad at being a human." And he was poor and he was homeless and he was, you know, whatever the case. And so when I got next to him, I said, he happened to be white. And I said, "You're not a human being." I said, in order to be a human being, you have to have hue. So I said, you're kind of a man, but not a full human being. I said,
oh,
you're
come
a
on,
man.
You got to be kidding.
No, he appreciated that. And I went on and gave him a dollar after I told him.
Well, okay, let me say this. Look, there are varying degrees of human hue, or what we call melanin. But all humans have melanin in their blood. That's what renders it red.
No. You can't go there.
Hold on. Let me just finish. All humans have melanin in their organs.
White people
but look
are
here.
Not
let
human.
Me say this.
White
I just
people are
gave
not
you
human.
The definition.
White people are not just, human. White
let
people
me,
are
let
not
me
human.
Okay.
You said, I've heard they're people, but they're not human. You have to have hue to be a human being.
That's why they treat human beings the way they treat them
on the planet, because they're not
trying
human.
Okay, we're talking over each other. We shouldn't do that. I'll shut up. But I'm trying to respond. According to whom? Who? I'm going to read to you the anthropological definition of race. It says here, starting out, no longer in technical use. Any of the traditional divisions of humankind, the commonest being the Caucasian, Mongoloid, and Negro, characterized by supposedly distinctive and universal physical characteristics. Now, this is a lie. That's the reason it's no longer in technical use. And anybody can be a bigot and a racist. No one is
people
excluded
use,
from
people,
that.
Look, you might not want, you might, solutions, you might not want race to be a word or something, but every day people say race and use that word because it ain't going nowhere, whether you like it or not.
Doesn't mean it's accurate.
It don't mean it ain't going nowhere either. It's a thing called
y'all
race lying. that people have a beginning and an ending. They are a race of people. People of color,
that's
human
right.
beings don't have a beginning or an ending. Human beings
right,
have been here forever
this.
And ever.
I'm not
right.
fighting with you, and I don't want to fight with you, but I'm going to
we're
say
not
this
fighting.
Again.
We're just talking.
You disagree
talking.
With my definition of species.
That would be
I
the
just
one
said
thing.
Race is a people who have a beginning.
I
like,
didn't say
race.
Race. I said
a race,
species.
In a race, you have a beginning. You go start, and then at the finish line, the race is over. So there
okay,
is a race of people.
Now, will you answer my question? Did you hear my definition of species? And
the
do
race
you disagree
of people's
with
time
it?
Is over with. The race of people is over with. Okay? So you're right on that point. Their time is coming to an end.
So, Justice, what is a racial group? When they say this is a racial group. Group.
They're usually referring to people of color in some form. Like if it's a racial, it's usually black first, but then they will tie it into other races.
People of color. What the fuck is people of color?
You might as well say color people. You might as well say color people, right? Color people.
Hey, Justin, I was agreeing on you with white folks aren't humans. I was agreeing on you with that. That's why I said that's the only good thing you said tonight. But this part where you saying people of color, y'all know that shit just.
Colored people. White people call black people
no
colored
people.
Colored
people, man.
So we take the sting out of everything. We say we're people
either
of color
black
now.
Oh, you fucking white, man.
They used
don't
to say nigger. Now we say
color.
Nigga. We take the sting out of stuff.
I was agreeing on you with everything up to have people of color say, man.
Well, that's fine. I ain't going to say people of color. That ain't normally my word. So don't strike me down for that. That ain't normally how
I
talk.
I need to reassert. I'm going to reassert because I think this is very crucial. The definition of species is any two couples that can mate, male and female, and produce an offspring that's capable of reproduction. Human beings are the only mammals that can do that.
And how familiar your mic is, brother? Your mic is.
So I kind of know my species. Hello?
Yes. What do you think about this?
Are you white? Let me ask you something. Are you black or white?
Look, I think that's, with all due respect, I think that's nonsense. I'm an American.
No. Are you white? Are you Caucasian, Mongoloid, or Negro?
I'm a mixture of everything, as we all are. We all are mixed.
But what are you? What are you? What are you? What does skin look like?
I'm a human being. I mean, come on. Let me give you a quick example.
If you don't got no color in your skin, you're not a human being, Solutions.
Let me follow me on this. If any person outside of this country were to hear another person speaking or to hear you speaking, they would identify you as an American. Why would they do that? Because people are identified by their language and culture, and culture is the language is the primary expression of culture. Language is. So, I mean, it's amazing that people of a particular culture have difficulty identifying themselves, but people outside that culture can readily identify you. Go ahead.
Alphamel, step into the ring. Go ahead, climb over that third rope with your big leg. You don't even got to go under the rope. Just climb over the rope and come on in.
Solution. What is
your culture?
What is your culture?
American.
So do you speak English in your culture?
Well, I try my best, sir.
All right, so you're a white man then. Okay. So,
brother,
maybe
Alpha Male can
Solutions is mankind. He's kind of a man, but not a full human being. That's what he is.
That's absurd. That's sophomoric and insulting. I'm going to read this again. The definition of race, according to anthropology, the study of man, no longer in technical use.
We don't validate what we think because of what the devil say. We don't do that.
Well, I tell you what, you send me a copy of your lexicon and I'll consider it. What language have you found it and developed to the point that you have a lexicon that clearly defines your speech?
It's called Afrocentric perspective and point of view. You don't want to claim being
using,
an Afrocentric.
You're using the same tools that I am. You're just in denial, if I may say
no,
so.
No. What tool you use?
Let's not fight over this. I really didn't come here to fight over nonsense. Let's be mature.
And
let's be as mature as we can be and move on.
I want to hear
Alpha Mayor. You got your gloves on yet?
I want to hear Alpha Mayor right fast, and then we want to.
Yeah, step on in. Put your gloves on.
Shit. Nah, he's using the J as a Hoover bout.
Yeah, hold tight. Let's hear Alpha Mayor, because he ain't been on all the whole shit. You know, so I want to get my brother fair.
Come on, Chef. Come on, Chef.
He probably using the J. Edgar Hoover bow.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Go on.
We got to hear from
now,
you.
This is a universal night of meditation and reflection. We have a planetary alignment. we're not supposed to indulge in confusion and, you know, arguments and negativity. It's really a time to really, you know, look deep into yourself. You know, I really want to hear what my man has to say. Even whether it's my philosophy or not, you know, I want to hear it. And, you know, I just think, you know, the brothers need to pull back and let him, you know, say what he has to say. You know, I come here to learn, not to, you know, play games and, you know, make people feel like they're not welcome. So if I would appreciate it, you know, just let the brothers speak. Because we talk all the time. We know how each other think. But, you know, my man taking time out of his time to educate us, you know, in a little different way. You know, because if he said 1,000 words, if two matter, that's something. So can we, you know, can we let him speak, you know? Because I want to learn something. I want to hear him.
Yes. And for the record, Alpha Male, I'm going to let the brother. Because, like, you know, I know you said you was, you know, chilling, you know, you was, because you told me about the Luna. I don't know if I can see it tonight because it's supposed to be a storm, so I might not even get a chance to see it tonight, bro. But you were chilling out, right? And I'm going to tell you, brother, I hit Alpha Male up and, like, hey, man, look, this brother, man, he's speaking your language because, you know, we was talking about space and things. You know, this your thing, Alpha Male. That's kind of my lead because he was dropping about the space and things of this atmosphere and all of this. So, you know, I hit you up, and this is the reason you here. So,
right.
Yeah, so we really wanted, because I told you about, then we got into something else by the time you came on to something else because of somebody came in, and we started coming about something else that somebody else said. So, but what we was talking about, like, really know our place of origins and start about different traditions and stuff like that coming from Star Constellation. You know, was coming in, he was talking about, you know, that we probably couldn't leave because of different things happening on different planets. So he was speaking about what you be into, Alpha Male, and that's why I told you, I didn't disturb you, you know, take a break. He was speaking in, you know, the language that, you know, that the conversation that you like to speak. And so that's why I disturbed you, to hear brother. But I want to go back to something, brother, about species right fast.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I might get called a coon for this shit because, you know, somebody, when you say shit don't fit people's narrative, you call a name, you know. So I'm just going to say this, and all what brother is saying is that we are the same species because brother is speaking about mating. Whether it's a European, how is it, right? Let's say this, because we're throwing it, not getting the context again. We're talking about calling race, what they have deemed as race, which we might put in as colorism, has nothing to do with you being a human being. Not has nothing to do with you being a human. Just because
skin complexion does not make you non-human. No, but that's, you know, that's a person on philosophy, person. But here it again. Brother was speaking about a species. So if we're not of the same species, I'm going to let him go back into the definition of species and go see what he's saying. If we're not of the same species as what we call human beings, how is it that, and we talk about race mixing sometimes, how is it that a so-called European, what do you want to call European, white, whatever, Tamahu, Edomite, how is it that they can mix with a so-called black man or a melanated being and have a baby if they're not of the same species? A frog can't have a goddamn baby with a fish. A dog can't have a baby with a goddamn cat. Like two birds, they're foul, but they can't have babies together. But can you go again with the species things if you don't mind? Because I understand it. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Were you referring to me or?
You, brother. My bad.
Okay. Well, let me just share this with you. Now, you guys can read the whole of this. This is what you call a homograph, and it's in it's under race. And you could go to dictionary.com. I kind of keep it on speed dial. Or you can go to Merriam-Webster's. And there are others, the Cambridge Lexicon. And I use them all. But anyway, under the second definition of race, it says genetic evidence has undermined the idea of racial divisions of the human species and rendered race obsolete as a biological system of classification. Race, therefore, should no longer be considered as an objective category, and as the term formerly was in expression, like the Caucasian race, the Asian race, the Hispanic race. Now, let me just say this. There's a lot of energy that can be wasted on nothing. And what I see, a lot of people put their energy in something that's completely unproductive. Now, the only reason race was developed was to make money at someone else's expense. It never was valid, but it was used as a valid tool based on the people that were in power at the time. And everybody has done this, by the way. Everybody has been a conqueror and a victim at one time or another. So anyway, I'll just leave that as that. You guys can read this for yourself and understand it. All right. Now, with respect to the issue of species, I think that's very definitive because an animal that's not of the same species cannot reproduce a reproductively capable offspring. For example, you take a lion and a tiger. Now, they can produce an offspring. And it's called a liger, I believe. But that liger is the end of the line. It can't reproduce. Man. It's sterile.
Yep. Mm. And that's for sure. And that goes back to these two babies and these this cloning process. See, none of them will reproduce either.
Now I'm not cognizant of that. You're saying test tube babies, by definition, are sterile. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay, I'd never heard that, but I'll check into it. That's interesting.
It is. And on one note, I want to say that 100 and some odd years ago, Marcus Garvey coined this term, race first.
But just this. Define what was he talking about race? See, I think you're mixing. It's just like, again, your thing, Justin. You know I love you, brother, but it's the same thing with how you mix up indigenous servitude with chattel slavery. What is the definition or what defines your, what they use this word race? What are they talking about? What is a race? And what is a human? From your definition to your understanding, when somebody says a human, and what do they mean about a race?
We're talking about what we have in common with each other. Our skin color, our hair texture, how we speak, how we move, how we relate to each other. That's my race of people. That's my kind. Okay, that's so why what, race first. We got to look out for each other first.
Okay, race so what did that have to do with Herman? Because you mentioned color. It's colorism. So what did that have to do with you being a human?
We humans that's automatically. We automatically human. That's we don't have nothing to do with that. That's
okay. Can you be a? Like I said, I don't know, man. I told y'all, man. I only went to the seventh grade. I ain't finished the goddamn seventh grade. I don't know. I'm slow on a lot of shit. I'm just trying to figure it out. I don't know, man. Y'all know I don't know. I a lot of shit. I fail science. I fail all that shit. So I'm trying to figure this out. So
I'm still some classes too now.
So can I be a human with color? Can I be a human with some color? Can I be a brown human? Can I be a what they call a white human? But I'm still a human, right? No matter what my color is, right?
If you got an ounce of hue in you, you're a human. If you don't have no hue, you ain't no human.
Also, what you're saying is, what about albinos
that come in all the different? Now I'm going to use the term ethnicities. What about albinos are reflected in all ethnicities? And
that's
they have very little pigmentation, skin pigmentation.
Yeah. You could classify them different ways. But like you say, in all the different races, you'll find this type of this problem. It's a genetic problem. So even if it's a white albino, he's not a human. He's just it is what it is. He might look like he got color or slight something, but there's nothing going on there really. Now the Afrocentric albino is a black person. The Afro albino is a black person. Even if they don't have no color, they still got the DNA of an African, an Afrocentric or a genoid. The genome or of original man.
Well, all humans possess human DNA. Human DNA.
Everybody
DNA
not
is
a human. They not. It's mankind, the kind of a human. They're not. They don't have the same DNA. All these people with Neanderthal blood, and we don't have that. That's the ones that's not human.
Now, where do you get your definitions from, sir?
You could go to the Black Man's Dictionary, and his name was Webster. He was a black man, okay? He wrote the dictionary, and he wrote what a human is. So you go all up and down what a human is. You got to have color to be a human. I don't care what the white man is going to say. You won't find in that definition where you can make white people a human being out of it. You got to have color.
I know where you got that from, Justice.
Wait, let me ask you, I'm sorry, go ahead, and I have a question for him. I don't know how long you guys want to entertain this, but what about...
I'm going to tell you where he got it from, though. I'm going to let you go ahead, bro, but I know where he got that from. He got this from blackpower.com, because I'm going to tell you, I remember used to hear that shit when I was in the Nawabian. I remember hearing this thing, how, see, people play with words. I remember even hearing that Dr. York and some other people used to play with that. See, he's not a hue man. See, the word H-U, that's hue. See, that's us. That's the black man. We the one have hue, and he don't have hue. That's why I said it. I'm playing around. Excuse me, Black Power, the Black Power community. I know a lot of y'all don't exist anymore, but excuse me. But that's where a lot of that stuff, what they call pseudoscience, brother, that's straight trash, brother. That's straight trash.
The real deal
is, I want to respond to the word hue.
Hue itself means color. The word man means a being. Human being. Period.
Go ahead. But I'm going to let my brother, he said he want to respond to you. But this is crazy, Justice. Come on, man.
Yeah.
If you don't have color, you're not
going to
act like a human being,
and
you won't treat human beings like human beings until you evolve up to the level of a human being, and that's what we have now. People have evolved up to the level of a human being, and they learn how to treat people who are human beings.
So what is it? Hold on, my brother. Okay, a young black brother just got killed in the back of my house today. He just got gunned down. Man, it sounded like, goddamn it, it was a war zone. He just got gunned down. And I presume it's some black people just gunned him down. So the people who killed him, are they not human? That's black on black. Are they not fucking human?
That doesn't
another
that does
black
not,
man?
just because
you said they don't act like
human,
you act like okay, the black man is supposed to be huge. He's supposed to be so righteous because he's the human. He's not supposed to do anything wrong. He's so righteous, but the unrighteous man, what you call the white man, he's the real devil of the earth. So he's since he's not human, he don't know how to act. This is what this whole human shit they try to teach us. I remember this teaching, man, when I was in that black power shit, they try to teach us this racial bullshit. That's why I said even like the critical race theory bullshit. They try to make black folks like you can't achieve shit because of your race. But so even with this human theory we're trying to throw out, brother, so explain to me why black folks doing the bullshit that they doing each other, man. If human means you are all so right. righteous, you are so pure, you don't do nothing wrong, but this unhuman, like the white boy, oh, okay, I forgot. So I understand why that European dude went in there and shot everybody in made a peace and blessing be upon their soul. He killed those people in Buffalo the other day because he was not human. See, that's when you are not human. That's what a non-human do to human beings right there. But explain to me all this shit that's going on in Chicago and, like I said, Memphis just today where that black brother got gunned down by some more black people who were, I guess he was human because he's black. So I don't understand why they killed the young brother. I know I'm lost. I'm confused, man. But I'm gonna let my brother. He wants to say something. I'm just confused right now. Y'all got me confused with definition, man. I don't know.
Okay, I got some answers, but go ahead and give us solutions.
I want you to answer what the gentleman just posed. I want to hear the response.
Sure. All right. Fine.
Me too.
That's good. I'm glad that we're all ears here. That's going to make me a pot of coffee at the same time. Let me see.
He's going to do his Democratic filibustering, y'all. So I'm going to let y'all know that.
Oh, no. Y'all didn't hear me say that out loud. All right, so here's the situation.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The non-humans that run the world have caused chaos in the world in many ways. And a lot of those ways is having the upper hand financially and economically over the people who don't have the wealth and the means to have a balanced life where they don't have to go haywire or go crazy in the mind and start doing things that they shouldn't be doing. So if it's like when over 100 years ago there was a time when in this country people didn't have jobs and they were sitting on the curbs waiting and trying to get a job and ask, you know, just poverty and no jobs. So what happened was there was a thing done and they were able to get jobs and get themselves uplifted out of that situation and they became productive citizens in society and they felt good about their life and felt good about themselves. And they didn't have to go and do things that they would do if they didn't have the means and, you know, otherwise. So what I'm saying is when humans treat humans fairly, then the society is better. And when people who treat people fairly in their societies, the society is better. So even in a society where there are no humans but there are people, that society can be a good society or great society by how they treat each other. So if a non-human runs this nation and most of the world, not all of it, but most of it, and they have these different measures of keeping people down and not really saying much about it and people not being able to identify what's happening and why they aren't being able to work one job and make a living versus having to work two or three jobs or go rob and steal and to support their life to be able to make their life better. So when non-humans are running the world and people are allowed to do anything because the non-humans don't care about rules and regulations as long as those people who are human are doing themselves a disservice towards each other, the non-humans don't care. They're like, okay, good, let them kill each other. Let's give them more guns. Let's drop a bunch of guns in the community. Matter of fact, let's drop a boatload of drugs in that community too at the same time. So now that happens. and nobody knows where the guns came from. Nobody even knows where all the drugs came from. The black people don't make the guns. They don't make the drugs. But they're there. They end up there. And then they start, because of what the movies are saying, that these non-humans make, and the movies are suggesting to the humans, this is what you do, humans. This is what you should do. Okay, so we're going to corrupt the humans. And then once we corrupt them, then we can lock them all up or kill them all or let them kill each other, because we're non-humans and we don't want humans on the planet anyway. And we want, you know. Go ahead.
Do you mind if I respond to you? Because I get the gist of what you're saying.
Okay.
All right. The one way that a person gives up all their power is to blame someone else, because now they have no accountability. It's the other person's fault. I can say this unequivocally, and that is that I don't know if you guys have ever watched any reruns of the Andy Griffith Show. It's kind of a comedy. Yes, you had a sheriff that didn't wear a gun, and you had a deputy, a funny deputy that had one bullet, but it wasn't in the weapon. It was in his shirt pocket.
Barney Fife.
That's funny as heck. I gotta watch. That's funny. I was too little to watch that. Too small to understand it. Was going.
Yeah, hold on. Basically, they were unarmed. All right. Now, I could live perfectly in a society like that because I don't need policemen, and there are other people that could live in a similar society. Now, I would say to you, sir, is that the victim, regardless of the excuses that you make, you did make excuses, and it's amazing that you don't see it. The victim would not be appreciative of any excuse that you made, any. I just want you to consider that. When you're making excuses, blanket excuses, which is what you did, the victim would not appreciate your excuse. I know I wouldn't if I were a victim.
Damn.
So if you got the non-humans who run the music industry, who allow us to say anything, but if we say anything about them, it's a problem. Now, if they won't, they don't have any other genre of music where people are disrespecting their own people in their race or in their culture.
Okay, but I don't think you responded to what I said. You just kind of deflected.
Because you didn't point out anything where I said that I was making an excuse for. I didn't make any
excuse. Well, you made an excuse for the bad behavior of people who victimize other people.
Yep. The non-humans who make movies that influence
people. Well, you keep using this term.
Human,
now, let me give you a term, because I think you are failing is, first of all, not properly defining your words. And there's an old bromide that said before any two people can enter into an intelligent conversation, they need to define their term. So here goes. Human, all right, of, pertaining to, characteristic of, or having the nature of people.
That doesn't make sense. That's coming from a Eurocentric point of view.
Okay, well, then give me your everything. What about the money you have in your pocket? Why don't you take all that money out and just throw it away? That's Eurocentric. It probably has a dead president on it.
You just threw something in there that don't have nothing to do with this conversation. But what are you doing?
Hey, but yeah, y'all ain't heard something earlier, did you? Y'all didn't hear something earlier. Now, I promise y'all, I've seen a picture of Webster, but Justice said, Justice, hold up. Did you say that Webster was a black man?
You know they whitewashed this history. You know that they whitewashed everything. The black man wrote that dictionary. Are you kidding me?
So brothers, I'm going to tell y'all, so no matter what y'all say, it ain't gonna matter because it's white. It's gonna either be whitewashed, it's just a lie. So no matter what we say, definition, it ain't gonna matter.
That sounds like brainwashing.
Non-humans have hidden away all the truth in the world. You won't hardly find hardly any of the real truth. They lie about everything. and have for since they've been in control for 200 years.
Can I add something else?
Yes, sir.
The letters H-U, nowhere in any dictionary does it pertain
it's H-U-E,
to...
H-U-E, man. What are you looking for?
Well, human is H-U-M-A-N. It doesn't have an E.
H-U-E. That's you. When you start writing man, now that defiles English if you put an E in there at that point. You have to take the E out at that point.
Oh, so
H-U-M-A-N at that point. Because that's how English, if you want to speak it properly and understand what this man is trying to say. The black man invented English. All right, we created English.
Oh, Lord, now we invented
all right.
English.
Are you kidding me?
I'm looking at the etymology of this word right here. It came into the English language between 1350 and 1400. Okay?
And there were no white people in control and no English had nothing to do with it because that was black people at that point.
And it didn't have the E. It talks about Latin humanus akin to homo, human being.
That's right.
And it says, so it has traveled through several
white
languages.
Can't
middle
claim
English.
Humanity because they don't have hue. I can't stand white people trying to claim humanity all the time, and they don't have no hue. Stop claiming
humanity.
But
it's interesting. I think this is an unwinnable fight, but I think you're not being fair. You're not being impartial.
You just don't want to accept reality. The truth
and
is
you're not
you
being
have
objective.
You to be a human. Or you could just say I'm a human if you want to, but it ain't going to make it true.
Well, look here. Let me respond to you this way. Okay. I'm familiar with animal husbandry, and I pointed out that whoever you consider a Caucasian, now there are people who identify as black that can pass. You can look at this in Imitation of Life. But so what's their offspring then? Is their offspring not human?
I said if you got 1 ounce or 1 drop of some melanin, you are a human being.
Okay, hold it. Stop right there.
You got just a little bit. Not a white human being, not a European that got a little tan. That's not goddamn hue.
Stop right there. Right. Every human being, do you know melanin is what gives blood its color?
Exactly. Do you know that do you know that melanin is the key carbon for life in the universe?
Melanin
is a carbon. Melanin is a carbon for life.
Melanin is in everyone's blood, and melanin is in everyone's organs, vital organs.
They trying to buy melanin. They want an injection of some damn melanin. They want to have sex with you to get some melanin.
But you're
okay?
not responsible.
They got melanin pills and stuff, okay, because they ain't got no melanin. They want to buy it. They want to kill you to have some of it. Have sex with you to have some of it. Eat you to have some of it.
So did you know melanin is what gives a person their hair color and eye color?
Look, don't ask me no more questions about melanin. I got some melanin. And you probably don't even have no melanin because you don't want to claim nobody's no culture. What culture are you?
Well, what I like is really truth instead of fantasy.
Yeah, that's correct. And just this, for a matter of fact, okay, I did the etymology too, right?
Chief Rabbi, get back up in here.
And just this, I'm finna give you something though. I'm gonna give you some credit because when you do look up the word the etymology for the word who, but like they said though, it's spelled H-U-E, and it does has the word color in it. But here's the problem, like Alpha Male said, when you spell human, there's no E in there. So if you try to use what you saying who man, wouldn't that be like a compound word? You was like H-U. And then and then man. Because I'm going to get to, okay. Hold on, brother. Hold up. Slow down for a minute. To give to fit what you are saying, to even fit the theory that you are saying, you would have to have this compound word. You know, there's some word that's compound words. And it would have to be that H-U, and I don't know somehow the word E ain't in there, but just say it was H-U, and then the word man. And then just say the word H-U. Was men color, And then it had the other compound word was mean man, the colored man. Now, that would fit your theory, what you're saying, if that was actually how it worked. But when you look up here, what you're saying, H-U-E, there's nothing that has to do with man. There's
it's
nothing to do
with
it's
color.
Not a compound word.
It's dealing
with color.
But
where, okay, it's dealing with color, but where is the man in this?
You don't. You
where
put the man in once you add man. You say human then, but you don't put an E because
you, okay,
it's defying,
but you would
it's
have,
defiling the English language when you do that.
If
you,
you if you
spell
subtract
a word like
e,
that with an E.
If you subtract the E, my brother, it would not to be the, it would not be the same definition.
You
it
don't
would not
put
be
two
the
vowels
same.
Next to each other. You can't spell a word with two vowels next to each other. That's the problem.
M is, hold up, brother. M is... My y'all, I didn't see my goddamn vowel so long. M is a vowel.
But a conjecting word, like a double word. You like you're trying to say you add on to it. You can't put a E onto it after you add on. You have to take the E out to make the word right. Human. It didn't change. It's still human. It's still human.
No, it's not.
Man.
No, okay. So I should be able to look up that word in itself. But still, again, human doesn't. See, that sounds good. That sounds good when you're trying to do a play on words. When you're trying to do semantics and play on words, that sounds damn good. I told you, I remember this teaching now from the goddamn Black Power community. I remember
y'all
that.
Y'all want to be fed non-humans so much that you just won't let it go. You going to defend
it,
them?
It's not a, brother, it's not about that. It's like, okay, again, when you try to sound and try to make it like, okay, black folks, we are human because we are so righteous and all this. But again,
we're black,
I ask you,
we got
brother,
one drop
I,
of black blood or more.
No, I ask you again, if blackness, if that's so if this human, as you're saying, because we call them non-human because, you know, if we call them devils and everything. And I'm not trying to take up for them. I'm just trying to be factual. I just want to be factual. I'm not trying to be right. That's all I want to do. I don't give a damn about you. Look, I ain't in that shit no more. I used to be and played that whole game with the Black Power shit, and I found out it's a bunch of hyped up, emotionalized bullshit that black folks ain't even trying to live up to their damn self. So I don't play that game no more. But anyway, there's a lot of cutthroat shit with that. But black people talking about black power, but then they beat the hell out of each other. The same people who are in black power supposed to be the black power revolutionary. They won't go and whoop the Klan's ass, but they'll beat the shit out of a guy. They'll beat the shit out of one of their own brothers for
some
of that minute petty shit.
That's
why I say I don't play that game with that black power shit no more. Don't give me that shit. Give me some righteousness. You living righteous? But anyway, let me shut up on that. So again, my brother, if you saying human is the black man and we try to make the human be so righteousness, why again, as I ask you, if he's the non-human and he's around here killing each other, he's making war,
he
do everything because that's his
he's
character, because he's non-human, why is this
human?
So why is this human, my brother? So why is this human defecting then? Why is this human doing the same thing that this non-human is doing?
Because
I thought we're supposed to be better because we are human than this
because
non-human.
Because we are, we have
great
been,
point.
We have, all right, look, you know
excellent.
How I say whitewash? You know how I say whitewash and stuff?
No,
we
you brother, listen, no. If we are programmed, if we are, just go like this here. If we talk about the intelligent designer who created the black man, now we can't defect, brother. We like a computer. The only way we are defect, we might, you know, like a computer, we might get a virus or something on us. So you're trying to say this non-human put a virus on us to make us defect like a computer, to make us start acting in a, you know, in a manner just like him. He don't put a Trojan horse on us or some kind of virus on us. Because, you know, Elijah Muhammad said, man, the black man is born, like they teach, the black man is born righteous. He's so-and-so, so-and-so.
That's right.
Them saying, so how did this non-human, I mean, how is us as human, born righteous by nature, all of this, how do we affect to act like this non-human, bro? I'm just trying to figure this out.
Because when they took control, they made the history of the world go away, and then they began their history and started to lead and to control everything and all the aspects of everything and took over everything. Once we, even when we had stuff, they took it over. And so at
Justice,
that point,
what did it have to do? I got to stop you, brother, because I don't want you to go. I want you to stay there. I'm stopping you because you're going somewhere. Brother, I'm trying to get you to ask about our action, not about what he wrote in no history book, how did our action goes to be Because remember now, humans are supposed to be righteous by nature. We don't do no wrong. How and unhumans, non-human, are unrighteous. They wicked as hell. Like they do things, like I said, like the dude did in Buffalo. So how did this non-human, this human start acting like this non-human? We start killing each other. We start doing. How did we do that? Forget what they wrote down, brother.
They put Jesus Christ out in the forefront, and then they brainwashed us, and then we've been brainwashed with the whitewash.
Well, wait a minute. Go ahead.
You're not brainwashed, right?
I'm not brainwashed anymore.
Okay. Now, let me say this, make an observation. People like you, say, for example, if you developed a colony wherever, you could not correct inappropriate behavior because you're blind to it. So you could never clean up the elements of evil. And this is what I believe the gentleman that's questioning you is pointing to, is where does this inappropriate behavior come from in the so-called humans? And how can
when
it
they
be
brainwashed? When they brainwash you to follow a mold that is unfitting of you.
Well, how are they so smart, being the non-humans? Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. How are they so smart? How are they so smart, being non-humans, able to overcome the humans that easily?
Ooh, good one. Well, it's a diabolical master plan that they put together.
So the non-humans are actually smarter than the humans.
Damn.
For a short period of time, it's going to look that way, but their time is shortly coming to an end, and then it'll go back to normal after a while. But right now, we live in a period where it's chaos.
Okay, and when is it? That's hope now. That's what you call your faith. Now, when is that going to happen approximately?
Hold on before you answer that one, Justin, because I got to get him something. He said something. I got to get him this right here, man. He get a lion for that one.
No. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead.
Hey, brother, I'm here. The lion is like the standing ovation in this when you say
Anyway, go ahead.
Thank you. But, okay, that sounds like a prideful statement that you said. See, this is the thing. Truth is truth no matter who holds it. See, that's what you have to become cognizant of. And so what you're doing is tap dancing around the issue and making excuses. And that won't win in reality. It won't. It hasn't.
All right, so when Sunray tonight had an experience right behind his house when a young man was murdered, and he was probably a young teen, and he had a family. He probably enjoyed music, and whoever shot him, they probably enjoyed music and listened probably to the same music. And that music has been unpoliced. It's been, it hasn't been challenged to say, don't kill yourselves on the radio or on the airwaves. There's no other genre of music where people are doing that. You can't find that in any other genre except for that rap music that we have today. But who's allowing that? Who's allowing that? The people who run the industry are not saying, don't do that, y'all. If they did, that would cut down on all of that. But they don't want that. They want them to go in that gangster mentality mindset that they are drug dealers, or they, you know, shoot them up, bang, bang, promote, and all of this that they see in the movies that the non-humans make, that they run Hollywood, they run all of the video games, they make all the videos, the violent video games, Grand Theft Auto, and all these video games.
I got a question, because that always confuses me, because, okay, let's take food, for example.
Yes, sir.
I don't like okra because it's slimy.
Yes, sir.
There's nobody can sell me in any form okra and I eat it, because it's just not my taste. Now,
all these people that you say are manipulated by this music, they have a taste for it to begin with. Don't develop this because you hear or see something.
Yes,
it's,
you do.
It's your personality to start with.
If that's
you
your environment,
I mean?
And everybody around you, and you
I grew
up
in
that.
That environment. I grew up in
that
environment.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, Alpha Male. That was a whole other period of time when you grew up. We talking about right
it
now, right now.
Matter.
It doesn't
matter.
It do matter. It do matter. You were denied. It matters. The music
was,
today
I
is nowhere like it was when you were growing up.
No, come on, man. Come on, man. Y'all do. I won't say y'all, but they doing that shit because they want to do it.
Because
I don't blame
right.
nobody, but the
they
thing,
don't know
the,
any different.
The
they
thing
were
is,
born
they,
into a
they
world
do.
Without any
they
peace.
Do.
They didn't know,
they know
any
different.
Songs that was cool.
They know
all their songs has been fucked up.
They
Alpha
know
Mel.
Different.
They ain't had no good
they
songs.
Know. Bullshit.
No.
Come on, Jeff.
They ain't had
Come
no
on,
good
man.
Songs.
That's bullshit.
Come on, man.
All their songs is bad.
That's
bullshit. You had good songs to grow up with. You had a mixture of songs. You had some songs that wasn't cool. Then you had some cool songs. But you today, all they song, they don't even know how to say peace out here. You say peace to a child out here. They don't even know what the hell peace is.
So you saying everybody's retarded?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's a different time we're living in right now. They don't
ain't
know
no
peace.
Different.
They never
ain't
seen
no
it. They don't have love. They don't know
here.
What love
I
is. You knew that. You grew up with love in the house.
That are much smarter than we are. So, and they growing up in that
denial. You need to hang out with some
bullshit.
Young people and see that they don't speak like you speak. They don't talk. They don't think like you think.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. I see it every day.
Yep. And just
you
know, we got some old.
It.
We
you
got some
it,
old.
Man.
You got some
you
old heads that listen. You got some people in their 50s, our age, listen to that damn crazy.
But they don't.
Stuff.
They don't. They not living that life. They can listen all
yes,
day.
They are,
they're not living
Ooh,
that
yes,
life.
They
yes,
are.
They are, brother. Ooh,
no, they
hell 50 yeah.
and 60
yes.
living that life.
Yes,
no,
they
not.
Do, brother. Oh, yes, they do, my brother. Oh, you wrong about that one, my brother. I see them.
Oh, yeah.
I see them, my brother. Same thing. You act like, brother,
yeah,
the OJ, they still don't play the OJs and the Temptations on the radio and shit. You act like that music still don't play.
Right.
I know. I can
These
tell you about
young
some
people ain't never
I can
heard
tell you
of
about
a Temptations
got,
song.
I can tell you about some brothers who's supposed to have knowledge of self and all this damn knowledge, brother, and they still listen to all that same music.
Yep.
And they got knowledge of self. They got all the goddamn knowledge in the world, but they still listen to
these
to that
children
same
today,
music.
They don't even know rappers from 15 to 20 years ago because they are only 15 to 20 years old. They only know what they know in their life period, and they only concerned with the rappers in the last 5 to 10 years that they've been listening to music. Don't you guys get it? They ain't they don't care about no LL Cool J, no Kumo D, Run DMC. They ain't even nowhere near thinking about no Temptations and no damn OJs. They don't know nothing
Brother
about them. They never heard them before.
But like Alpha Male said, brother, a lot of the stuff they doing because they want to. My mama and my daddy told me they gave me the best of all morals that they can give and the guidance. Brother, when I went out there and did all my dirt, I did that shit because I wanted to do that. But it ain't like my mama and daddy didn't tell me no better. That's why people say, hey, mom and dad, they ain't get them no home training. Yes, they did. I chose to go out here and do damn near what favorite society put out or trying to do what my homies them do or maybe just showing out. I knew better, but I want to show out in front of my friend them to show them how tough I am. Or just show out in front of some of the gals and some and do some shit. I chose to do that, brother. But I was trained. I was raised better than that. So a lot of things is you as an individual, you do shit a lot of shit because you want to do it, bro.
That's
it ain't
right.
You can't. We
that's
can't
right.
always go out and blame society what somebody else have done, bro. With a lot of stuff that's on us. We can't keep. How long are we gonna keep blaming the goddamn white man? When a lot
exactly.
of shit is on us. A lot of things is on us, brother. If we especially when we know all this stuff today.
It's on
if we knew
us,
all
we
the trick knowledge that the white man have done
stuff.
Today, brother, and we even work and we in a damn near worse of state and we supposed to have all this knowledge and know every trick that the white
we
man
got,
have done.
We got
bro,
all the
and
knowledge,
we're in a worse
bro.
State than we doing.
Right,
so it's like, come on, bro, when we gonna when we gonna take a look at it.
We
when
won't
we
act
stop?
On it. We just
because why?
Go ahead. Because we always want to say that's what they want to hear. This is what sells. This would make money. Not that you're killing your goddamn self and you're going to kill your community off and all your young kids.
is going to be growing up all messed up in the head, and you allowing that to happen just because it make money. That's what they want to hear. They want to hear, let's kill each other. They want to hear, let's kill each other.
And see, this is why I say it again, brothers, and y'all know, and if people have their own opinion about the critical race theory, this is why I said I don't know, they don't need to teach critical race theory, because of stuff just like this here, what my brother's doing, again, we're making excuses for bad behavior, and we just want to play the victim so goddamn much. Only thing, a lot of stuff we got to do is take a step back and look at what we're doing to our own selves. And this is what I'm saying, right. Critical race theory make you think that you can't achieve nothing because the white man got his foot on your neck, or if you try to start a black bank, if you try to do right, the white man going to do this. But I'm looking at, how are some of these other black people doing successful stuff? Then, the white man, I guess they kissing the white man's ass the reason they got all the stuff they got. I mean, a lot of people, we just choose not to do this stuff. I chose not to do the stuff I used to do. So, Justice, I'm going to say this right for Aggie. So, you know what, brother? You made me believe in human evolution. You just made me tonight believe in human evolution. And I tell you what I'm saying, y'all. Because there was a time when I guess I was non-human, brother. I used to be breaking in people's houses, shooting at black folks, stealing black folks' shit, sleeping with woke folks, women, and all this type of shit. I was a non-human. And then when some brother gave me all that knowledge, brother, which is mean intelligence, a little intellect, intelligence, I evolved into a human because now I no longer do those type of things. So you made me tonight believe in human evolution. So now I no longer do the things I used to do when I was a non-human. So, you made me believe in human evolution.
All right.
You don't get it. Where
my damn lion at? Where my lion at?
No, I'm messing with your theory. But you didn't get it. You ain't going to get that one, brother. You got to be a college dropout to get that one.
I deserve a lion at some point tonight. Dang, well, I don't get no lions tonight.
You ain't going to get that one, Doc. We got to stop making excuses, Justice, and coming up with bad. All that stuff like you listen to these guys. Stay off the internet, man. Stay off the internet because I'm telling you, man.
First of all,
now you're saying that even Webster is a black dude. Oh, Lord.
if I just may jump in a moment.
I'm going to send my facts to you, Bob, after I go and find them. I'm going to send you the facts.
Please
come on,
don't.
It ain't going to be for my man. It ain't going to be for my man. It ain't going to be for my master teacher. It's going to be another guy.
I can't do drugs on a weekend.
It ain't Callaway. I don't mess around with him at all. I don't like damn Callaway.
Hey,
What you going to say, brother?
Go ahead.
Hey, yes, thanks. No, what I was going to say, regarding standards and quote-unquote inappropriate behavior, now, if you look at the, I've studied this the Nation of Islam, they seem to have a great organizational structure, and they have standards. They don't tolerate inappropriate behavior, which is appropriate, and so they don't make excuses such as the gentleman who spoke to me and deflected. They don't make excuses for bad behavior. They call it out and they deal with it, and that's what has to be done. Now, I would assume a lot of you guys are like this. I think most human beings are pretty good, are pretty law abiding, and it's only the small percentage that really needs law enforcement. But like I like to make that example. I could live in a community without
non-human corruptions that non-humans get away with. It's unimaginable, bro.
There you go, making excuses again. If you're going to be successful, and I don't know how successful you are, but if one is going to be successful, they have to stop making damn excuses. They have to take accountability and do what needs to be done. And making excuses and being a victim only gives you a power to the so-called victimizer,
even if the victimizer
is fictitious.
I didn't make up no excuses. If I did, point it out.
Well, when the gentleman spoke to you about the people in certain communities, I believe he said in Chicago, And you can pick up the paper right now. I wish someone would do that. And look at how many people got shot or killed in Chicago. And these are by people that you would probably identify as black and possibly who would identify themselves as black. But look at the behavior they're practicing.
Yes, sir.
It's what happens when you allow a mindset to develop and you don't allow the children to get the education that they deserve to have.
Okay, let me ask you this. I got that. Now, how would you hold them accountable? Let's do a thought experiment. How would you hold them accountable now?
Hold who accountable?
The ones who are victimizing the people that are shooting the people and wounding and killing them. How would you hold these people accountable? We're just doing a thought experiment.
First of all, you would have to bring the people to the forefront who we're talking about to hold them accountable. You got to know who you want to hold accountable. So,
how about
yes.
the people who pulled the trigger?
The people who pulled the trigger, of course, is the number one person that should be held accountable.
Right.
But the point of the matter is, when you don't understand how, if you didn't come up the way you did, like if you were a young child and you had all kinds of situations that come up, I mean, that happened in your life. Like, you don't have the two-parent household structure. You're raised by your teenage parent, and she doesn't have much of an education, can't really read too well, whatever the case may be. And you're growing up in a whole dysfunctional grow-up time. And so
all right,
you
let's back up a minute.
Time.
Stop right
and,
there. I get your point.
You,
well, then that's the community's responsibility to rectify that.
You grab hold
that's the community's responsibility to address.
Bruh, you got to look at the community.
No. Answer me if you can. If you don't want to, I can deal with that too. But that is what the community has to respond to. Your churches, for example, have to start
they
teaching people.
They always do. They always do respond. But when they do, what happens?
I'm listening.
No, the church is going to – the church will come out and respond and say, look, let's stop this. And then they'll do it again. Let's not have this. And they have funerals all the time. Then – somebody is saying,
Hold on. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about are prerequisites. For example, teaching young people who are prospective parents how to be parents and training them to not have kids out of wedlock, to go to school, obey the laws, become productive citizens. That's the responsibility of the community. That's no one else's responsibility. And until you face that, you're always going to be shifting blame on someone else who doesn't give a damn. Because all they're going to do is buy homes away from you and put up gated walls and use police and guard protection. They don't give a damn about your welfare if you don't.
Right. Look, it's a lot of distractions, right? So when children are growing up now, the ones who don't have that kind of structured parents that are really instilling in them to get their education, right? Some parents aren't that particular about it. They go to school and, you know, they're not really watching over their children because they're doing whatever, living their life or whatever they're doing. So what happens is these children get distracted by videos, by influences from outside of the house that will influence them in negative ways.
I understand that. No one is disagreeing. See, notice what you're doing. A lot of people, when I've engaged in a lot of linear logic and solution-oriented thinking, and what many people do in problem-solving is they keep restating the problem.
Right.
I understand the problem. Now it's how to address the problem to get a resolution to it. Your churches, your nonprofit organization, all these organizations have to pitch in to change the climate.
What
and you blaming
is, look,
someone, wait a minute, you blaming someone else and using these negative names does not advance the ball, not for you, not for anybody.
But solution, it's like this. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you're going to get the same thing. So what
that's why I'm asking
is,
you to do something differently. I'm pleading with you.
What I've been advocating is that we kill this music that's influencing our children to kill each other. We got to
stop right there. Stop right there. Is that music legal?
It's freedom of speech.
Okay. Then what you're asking someone to do, now, I understand what you're saying, and in a perfect world, probably that would happen. But we're not in a perfect world.
All right,
we have
so
to look both damn ways before we cross the street. Wait a minute.
It won't get fixed until we fix that.
Hold on. Even if we have the walk light, we still have to look both ways before we cross the street. So you have got to put – you sound like a smart man. You've got to put countermeasures in to – rebuff and resist toxicity that you know exists. You're sitting here telling me what the problem is, but you're also saying I'm helpless at the foot of the problem. Then get someone else, especially start in your community where you are. Get another person who agrees with you. Go to PTA meetings. If they're not teaching what you like in the schools, get your carcass there and object to what's being taught. Get a little money so that you can grease the palms of politicians. Hey, you got to learn how things work and then work them.
Yeah.
All right.
See, what you sound to me, and I never accept this, you're making excuses, and that's weak, weak, weak.
Every time you said I made an excuse, you're not really pointing to the excuse. You're just saying you're making
I'm pointing to it directly. The excuse is not taking accountability and rectifying the behavior of the one that's committing the act. That's number one. Clean up the actors. They know who do this stuff.
Yep.
You got to take them out. Put their asses in a cage. They're acting like animals. Cage them up.
Yep.
See, you guys allow this shit to go on, and then you try to blame someone else for it. Listen, no one's listening. It's kind of like these radio telescopes listening for listening for intelligence in outer space. There's no transmission. Nothing is coming in. Not yet, anyway. So, I mean, it's up to you to do it. Go to your pastors, talk to them. Now, look, I can tell you what your pastors are doing. They've taught people to tithe, and they're raking in money. Pastors take in a lot of money. Not all pastors, but a lot of pastors do. They're bleeding your community, and they have the people thinking that they need to tithe. Tithing is not even part of the New Testament teaching. Now, I didn't say giving wasn't part of New Testament teaching. I've mixed it up with pastors, and they force all your power, your money. They take your power, and then they don't live in the communities. They live in a nice community. Think about it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, sir.
Take note of where most pastors live. Now, how the hell do they overcome all the problems that you're talking about? They have nice cars, nice clothes, nice food, nice houses, nice contacts. They have nice everything. And they're using the money of the victims. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Sluice, Tim?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hey, yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
All right, so what you just said, I for the accountability part, some of that's true, but what you just said is 100% about the pastors and especially the imams. Now, when you were saying that about the Nation of Islam being a good program, you know, for, I guess, for structure,
Well, they have a good model. That's what I meant. They have a good model. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. You're right. They have a good model. But one thing that I've learned, and trust me, I've been Muslim. I've been, you know, I've studied Masonry. I've studied, I've been in the Hebrew Israelite community, you know, been in that my whole life. But, you know, like I said, I've searched other ways, but I came back to my Hebrew culture. I'm Old Testament, so I enforce instruction and law, which is what the Torah is about. Now, I'm going to tell you something, though, what I've learned and, you know, and I understand your model of what you're saying, but a lot of these young kids, and especially with, you know, just the young kids and, you know, the young men, I'm going to tell you something. I was humble, but, you know, a couple of us up here might have been there too. Me, my brother, my mom, we'd have been homeless before. Now, when I was homeless, I've repped my Hebrew Israelite. I don't care where my talis, I wear my kufi, everywhere I go, wear my ring. I'm going to tell you something. I had a guy that walked up to me because, you know, I've always had leg and muscle issues. And I was walking to the library when I was homeless. I was walking because a lot of homeless people went there. And the guy told me, he saw me, you know, my leg issue, my arthritis issue. He said, you know, your Yahushua is going to heal you, you know, of that. You just got to come back to him. You got to go join, you know, a church or not church, but, you know, the camps or whatever. He said, that's the problem with a lot of, you know, these homeless brothers and sisters. They don't want to, you know, come into and go and, you know, be members of a lot of the camp and try to do the right thing and learn, you know, the Torah. So I looked back, because he made a random statement to me. I said, well, you know, it's crazy. I am Hebrew. You know, I've been in the organization. I told him, you know, and I told him what organization, camps and all that. And he was like, well, you know, he just kept talking. And I told him, I said, you know, the funny thing about this, what you're saying, man, about me being homeless and, you know, maybe come back to the house, that would stop me from being that. I said, you know, I've reached out to camps. I've dealt with in the past. No help. I said, I reached out to, and, you know, and I told him, I said, well, one thing that I saw was, and I let this guy know when I was homeless, this, I said, one thing that I noticed, majority of the young homeless people have knowledge of self. Like, I'm going to tell you that. Majority of them do. Like, I'm going to tell you something. It was, like, I'm going to tell you at least 80% of homeless people, especially black people, they all have a knowledge of self. I don't get, like, so that, you know, going to the pastors and the pastors living in our community, that's not going to do too much. I will agree with you on the other things, but, you know, but a lot of these kids, and especially not just the kids, but the youth, and even a lot of these middle-aged adults, they're not going to listen to that model no more. Like, don't get me wrong. I respect, you know, you're telling us what we could do, but they're not going to listen to this shit. They're not, like I said, when I was homeless, which I tell you, I told one guy who came up to me when I was homeless with that crap. I told him I'd have been a part of all that. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I was in, about a year or two ago, I was in the, you know, the doctor's office, I should say.
But
okay, let me get a little clarity on what you were saying, if you don't mind. You say they're not going to listen to it. Could you explain that just a little bit?
Okay. For instance, you know, you tell a justice. Okay, if y'all tell a justice a lot of truth, a lot of jewels, okay, which I'll teach them, you know, you did that black issue and that white issue. And I'm going to tell you something. How justice is acting and how he's responding, y'all, is how a lot of these people who are out here in the street, that they are talking. That's how they act. I know. I've been in the street. You know what I'm saying? I've been there. Believe it or not, I've been home. A lot of those guys don't want to hear that shit. They respond to you just the same way.
Could I stop you right there? Because I think what needs to be observed here is that they may not hear it at a certain time. I can understand that. Timing is everything. Now, I didn't mention participating in your city council meetings. In other words, being totally involved in your community, starting with your pastors, because there you have a population of people, hopefully united and concerned people, and then, of course, your schools. So look, this is the way it works. Either the people who are in a community have to be the most concerned about it, or no one will be. So it's just at what point do they get fed up and want to make changes? Now, I agree with you if you come to a young person, man or woman, male or female, at 13, 14, 15, and start trying to impose restrictions upon them, right, it probably won't work. But if one starts early, it more than likely will work.
But I'm just saying, don't get me wrong, what you're saying, yeah. But at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you something, but I've seen and I realized from a former person who'd have been homeless and then been in the truth while being homeless at that time. I'm going to tell you something. A lot of those young guys, and those young, not just young guys, but the older, middle age, I don't care. I didn't see 50, 60-year-old men. You know, I'm going to tell you something. Even the ones that aren't drug addicts, a lot of people say, if you be homeless, you got to have this, you got to be this, but that's not the case a lot of times. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of these people that's out here in the streets, I'm going to tell you something, that's in, like, the streets, especially, you know, you see more older people that are in the streets than younger people. I'm just saying that. Like, when I was homeless, I'm going to tell you something. I've met plenty of homeless masons. I've met plenty.